Jack with Chuck, Jack with Chuck. Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee. I wonder if these windows open a tiny bit. Do we want them open a little bit?
Test, test, 1, 2, 3. Test, test,
test
1, 2, 3.
Test, test, I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. We'll be right back.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
Good vision starts with healthy eyes. Primary Eye Care Associates encourages you to have a comprehensive vision and eye health exam periodically, even if no symptoms of a problem exist.
We recommend that parents of young children bring their babies to Primary Eye Care Associates for their first exam between 6 and 12 months of age. This visit is free of charge through a special public health program called Infant C.
Dr. Karen Fortman is one of 8 outstanding doctors of optometry at Primary Eye Care Associates.
And we want to ensure that school-age children have normal visual development, too. They must meet the demands of the classroom and the activities and sports that they play.
For your convenience, no matter what age, Primary Eye Care has locations in Sydney, Fort Loramie, Jackson Center, Troy, and St. Paris.
Continued eye care is important for adults, too. We want to keep your eyes healthy for as long as you live. Primary Eye Care wants you to see your best, look your best, and feel your best.
Your Primary Eye Care team of over 50 associates is available weeknights and Saturday mornings.
We're committed to caring for your vision and eye health for your lifetime.
Visit us online at primaryeyecare.org.
When your car's down, get a lift from Sydney Car Care.
My husband and I have tried a lot of car repair shops. Without any question, we are most satisfied with Sydney Car Care.
Sydney Car Care repairs all makes and models of cars and trucks, foreign and domestic.
Todd Brown, Corey Shreves, their quality workmanship is second to none.
I just want people to come in here and get to know Corey and I. We truly enjoy repairing cars. We'll treat your car like we would our own.
Todd and Corey at Sydney Car Care total more than 40 years of outstanding automotive work for you, the customer.
You just can't beat Sydney Car Care.
Bob Barno has been bending pipe and putting exhaust systems on for the last 30 years in this building. It could be a $30 quick fix up to a custom exhaust system on your 65 Vet or whatever. He's just the best exhaust guy around, period.
Formerly McLean Service Center, Sydney Car Care is at 1080 4th Avenue in Sydney between the hospital and drive-in.
They give your cars the best care at Sydney Car Care. It just makes sense. Dollars and cents.
Call 492-9495 for Sydney Car Care. Prompt and priced right.
Get connected to your VA benefits. Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veteran Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission. We're vets serving vets.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
Good evening to you, high school football fans. I'm Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee, speaking to you from Miamisburg's Holland Field, the scene of tonight's big Division II regional semifinal playoff game between the Sydney Yellow Jackets, 10-1 on the year, and the LaSalle Lancers from Cincinnati, 9-2, as LaSalle shoots for its fourth straight state championship here in 2017. Sydney,
that's amazing.
Isn't that something? Wow. This is playoff game number 17 since 2014 for LaSalle. Incredible.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Head coach Adam Dungey's team for the Sydney Yellow Jackets is trying to knock off the Lancers here tonight. And Sydney can do it. There's no question about it. Isaiah Bowser, over 8 yards per carry rushing the ball on the season, has been a big weapon. Andre Gordon keeps improving, getting better and better at quarterback, Chuck. He would cowboy at some last year. He'd run around. He'd scramble. The good defensive teams would corral him and throw him for a loss. This year, he is keeping his receivers focused. They're coming back toward the line of scrimmage, breaking off the routes, and Gordon's completing big passes. He'll need to do that tonight because LaSalle will stuff the line of scrimmage against Bowser.
Well, you were telling me before that with Bowser averaging 8 yards a carry, LaSalle gives up 2 yards a carry
right
on rushing. And Gordon, you're right. He has matured as a quarterback. He is an outstanding athlete. I mean, he's as good a basketball player as I've seen in a long time. But last year, he did a lot of running. He did a lot of, you know, he would give up on the play. In the Pickwell game especially, he almost single-handedly won that game with his athleticism and keeping his eyes down the field instead of looking to run and finding people open in the seams. And then that's what is going to need to do tonight. The offensive line is going to have to give him, he is elusive, but the offensive line cannot allow them to be just running him down from the beginning. He has to have a chance to go through at least a couple of progressions on his receivers.
And the Yellow Jackets may try to dent the line of scrimmage with Bowser on first down here at the start of the game, but you don't want to fall into that habit on a regular basis against a team as strong as LaSalle.
You don't want to be looking at second and 10, second and nine constantly, because then they will put their ears back on second down and put the rush on you. And you were telling me that they have four of the best linebackers. If you've seen on film, two of them are going to go Division One, and
right.
That's a scary situation for Sydney tonight.
Yeah, they're all juniors. They made the transformation, did LaSalle this year, from the 4-3 to the 3-4 to allow this talented core of four LBs to get on the field at one time, and they are super. This LaSalle team is only giving up a touchdown and a half per game. They're only averaging a little over 20 offensively. They have scored 70-some points, Chuck, this year, after the opponent's turnovers. That's the way you capitalize.
That is how you do it. And LaSalle, are they in the greater
yes.
Catholic League? So they're
yep.
in with Moeller and St.
Right.
X and that. Mm-hmm. So they play one heck of a tough league schedule then. And that's going to be, so, you know, Sydney plays a couple of pretty good teams, Detroit, Piqua. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to have seen anything quite like this tonight, I don't think.
Interestingly, each team finished second in its league or division. Sydney behind Troy in the GWAC North, and St. X beat out LaSalle in the four-team Greater Catholic League down in Cincinnati. As we noted, Bowser, 8 yards per carry on the year, nearly 3,000 all-purpose yards racked up by Isaiah Bowser of Sydney this season. That is unbelievably amazing. Rontez Roberts will need to come up big tonight. He's had a great season. 22 catches, 6 touchdowns, averaging over 21 yards per catch is Rontez Roberts. Ryan Cagle, 94 tackles on the year, leads the way. Devin Rogers at 68. You know, the teams against Sydney focus so much on Rogers on that defensive line. Other men for the Yellow Jackets need to come to the forefront and make the key stops, because Rogers
Absolutely.
Will be doubled.
Absolutely, because, yes, they double him. I mean, if you watch him out there, they move him around. I like the way they move him around on the defense, but they double him every time. They find him and they double him, the good teams. And I like to watch him at fullback. I can't even imagine me being a poor little defensive end and watching that kid come leading the sprint around the corner.
This will be an interesting game in terms of special teams tonight, especially the place-kicking department, Chuck. Hallie Truesdale, 51 of 55 on extra points this year. And how about Cincinnati LaSalle, excellent field goal kicker, who has made 10 field goals this season.
I was watching him warm up, and that boy's got a leg on him. He was out there at 40 yards and was pretty accurate.
Pat McLaughlin, head coach at Cincinnati LaSalle, in year number one after spending a year last season at Princeton, three straight championships, state of Ohio for LaSalle, two different head coaches prior to Coach McLaughlin. He is shooting for a fourth title in a row at LaSalle, and the third different head coach in the 4 years. LaSalle is definitely the favorite in this game tonight. Why wouldn't they be the number one seed? Very potent schedule. having played several teams out of state. But Sydney has other ideas. If I were to ask Adam Dunn just this question, Chuck, and I didn't, we'll hear the conversation with Coach in a moment. Adam, do the Yellow Jackets need to play their best defensive game of the year tonight against LaSalle in order to win?
Well,
what would he have said?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they need to try to limit them to making them, if they're going to score, they need to drive the field to do it.
Right.
Sydney's got to make sure that they don't turn the ball over, and it's always important to get a good start in a football game, but I think for the psyche of the team tonight, Sydney has got to start strong. If they get down, it could really snowball.
Yeah, and it's not a rainy, cold night like it was, last Friday?
Last Friday.
Woo! It was miserable.
No, that's the Friday before.
Yeah, two Fridays ago.
It was cold last week, but it was rainy and cold the week before.
There is a pretty strong breeze out of the east-northeast here at Miamisburg this evening. Temperature in the 20s, chill factor probably down to maybe a 12, 13 degrees before the night's over.
Yep.
There will be turnovers. The key is who commits them, how many will there be, where on the field do they happen,
absolutely,
and who can take advantage.
What do you do with it after you get them?
Exactly. We are about 15, 18 minutes away from the opening kickoff here tonight. We are situated on the west side of Miamisburg Stadium that seats about 6,000. It was new one season ago. And here on the home side, which is the Sydney side, because the Yellow Jackets drew the larger crowd.
Right, I'm sure they had more pre-sale tickets.
Right, even though LaSalle is the home team, wears the home red, and is the home team on the scoreboard. But here on this side, Chuck, all the seats have backs.
They do on the other side, too.
And they all do on the other side. And yeah. I think most all of the seats were purchased from the Daytona Speedway.
That's what I heard somebody saying. That's pretty cool.
Isn't that something?
It's a beauty. And what I like is on this side, there's a big M. If you're on the other side, it's a W. So, I mean, they can cover about anything.
You talk about comfort. Sitting in the stands here at Miamisburg.
I want them to be heated tonight.
Yeah. Adam Dungis, head coach of the Sydney Yellow Jackets, very pleased with his team's victory last week against Belmont. It was a track meet. Belmont very speedy, and Sydney had to come from behind three times in the first two and a half quarters.
Sydney trailed 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. A good resiliency by your team. You hung in there, whipped them in the second half.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of lead changes, not ties in that game, just because of the lack of both teams being able to make extra points and going for two and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, our backs were against the wall, you know, three or four times in that game as far as being down. And, you know, we told the kids all week that they were going to make us look pretty silly on both sides of the ball and on special teams for that matter. And they definitely did. There were some times where they hit us in the backfield before you barely got the ball handed off. But we just told them we got to keep believing in what we're doing and believing, you know, in the calls, believing yourselves and each other that, you know, we felt like we were the better team overall, but there was going to be times where they made us look really, really bad. And I was proud of the kids to be able to continue to persevere some through some of those tough times. And in the end, we came away.
Belmont, the quickest team you'd played against all year?
Yeah, definitely the quickest. You know, just fast overall. Mm-hmm. And I think we try to do some things to counter that a little bit. You know, we're not a real big screen team to all our running backs and that kind of stuff, but we were able to use some of that a little bit in that game and try to slow them down a little bit just by some of the play calls and some of the different things that we did. But definitely the fastest team that we faced all year.
Hey, you've gotten the 11th game under your belt, first time since 1989 that Sydney High School has gone beyond 10, gotten into the playoffs. It's got to feel really good, although another big contest coming up against LaSalle here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you're into week 12, and now you got to go play the three-time defending state champs. But you got to play, you know, we told the kids once you get to this point, playoffs or Sweet 16, whatever you want to call it, once you get to at some point in the playoffs, you're going to have to face really, really good football teams.
Sure.
And we did last week, and now it just steps up another notch. That's what happens when you keep going further into it. You know, mathematically, you should be getting into better teams. And so eventually you're going to have to run into somebody who's won a state championship or something like that. And so, you know, we might as well play the three-time defending state champs right now. And
sure.
That's what playoff football to me is. It's excitement because you get to go into a brand-new facility. You know, we've never played at Miamisburg, and we've never played LaSalle. So this is playoff football.
Adam Dungis, head coach of Sydney, before tonight's game between the Yellow Jackets and LaSalle. Isaiah Bowser, what a bull. doesn't seem to get nicked up. He looks to be 100% week after week after week. Assess him right now heading into week 12.
Well, he puts on a pretty good front in games. I tell you what, though, he's beat up for a couple days. You know, we bring our kids in all season. We bring them in Sunday evening to lift and watch film. We don't bring them in on Saturdays unless they need medical treatment. And, you know, he does a nice job on Saturdays at the beginning of the year, make sure he got in and get his ice bath in and all that kind of stuff. He takes really, really good care of his body as far as stretching, lifting, icing, and all that kind of stuff and getting things wrapped up. But, you know, sometimes he's got a lot stronger as the years went on. Beginning of the year, he was pretty beat up. Just some nagging injuries that wouldn't go away, but I feel like right now he's gotten through some of that stuff, and I think he's as strong as he's been all year, and you know, we're going to need him a lot on both sides of the ball for this game.
Andre Gordon last year would cowboy it some in the offensive backfield. He'd scramble some more, get thrown for a loss time and time again. This year he's playing under control. Receivers are breaking off routes coming back toward him. These actions are resulting in gains. Andre's patient. The receivers are doing their thing. You've got to be very pleased with Andre Gordon at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be the first one to admit that, you know, he just played backyard football his freshman year. And then last year he just had the one game in. And this year, kind of a little bit at the beginning, same thing. But, you know, some of his injuries with the legs at the beginning of the year kind of forced him to sit in the pocket and play quarterback as opposed to, you know, running around and playing backyard football. And that's part of a game that he wanted to get better. That's part of the game that, you know, colleges were kind of saying, you know, can he play quarterback or not? And he wants to prove that he can sit in the pocket and make some throws. He's done a really nice job with that development, you know, particularly since the Troy game. He's done a really nice job with being able to throw the ball away or run out of bounds, not trying to turn everything into a touchdown. And, you know, he got bit pretty good with that Troy game as far as throwing some picks and making too many runs that he didn't need to try to make when he should have slid or just get out of bounds. And, you know, he made the comment the other day that his body feels as good now as it has in 3 years of playing football. And a lot of that has to just come down to the last 3 weeks of throwing the ball away when we don't need to force something and running out of bounds or taking a slide when you have to.
Right. Defense has to fear his run, i.e. that great romp against Piqua. That was a huge one in that game.
Yeah, no, he can definitely make some things happen with the legs across the board. You know, he's going to make some mistakes. We play fast. We force a lot of reads and a lot of decisions on his part. You know, when he makes a mistake, the nice thing is he doesn't let it affect him. He bounces back. You know, that game against Belmont, he knew he shouldn't have run out of bounds at the end of the game.
Right,
it's something
right.
We talked about. He made a mistake. The clock stops. Now we're 4th and 15. We're just trying to waste some time off the clock. We call a pass play. He makes some makes a play with his feet, throws a touchdown pass.
Right.
You know, he didn't let, you know, right away when he ran out of bounds, he knew he made a mistake, but he doesn't let those kind of things affect him. That's why he's such a special kid to be around.
Evaluate the defense heading into week 12 and what is needed by the defense to slow down LaSalle.
You know, LaSalle does a lot of different things offensively. You know, it's not a Belmont offense or a Xenia offense. They're going to spread out similar to what we do. They got a nice big tight end receiver kid that's going to go to Cincinnati, 6'6", 6'7", big kid that's going to move around. They're going to use him, you know, outside as a split end. They're going to put him in the slot. They're going to put him at a wing. They're going to put him at a tight end. They do a lot of different things formation-wise to utilize him blocking or utilize him catching the ball. He's a tremendous athlete. There's a reason why it was a really big get for Cincinnati. I think he could have went to, you know, quote-unquote, bigger schools, but he wants to stay home and play for the hometown Bearcats, and he's a pretty special player, but they've got some other kids across the board. Quarterback's a nice player. Running back, I think, was all conference for him, which is going, you know, saying a lot when you got Moeller and St. X and, you know, those kind of teams that you play. So it's a big-time formidable opponent for us.
Sydney Yellow Jackets head coach Adam Dunn just talking about Cincinnati LaSalle, which does feature 6'7", Josh Wiley. He's a tight end on paper, but he's all over the field. He's a wide out. He's in the slot. He'll be split to the wide side, 15 yards, boundary side, 5 yards. May line up in the backfield even. And it looks like, Chuck, when you watch him on tape, that the pass is too far. He can't catch up to it. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, with those big, long strides of his, he hauls it in. Sydney will have to double-team Josh Wiley. No way around it.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got somebody that's that talented. You got to try to figure out a way to at least minimize him. You can't allow him to have a huge game or it's going to be a long night.
Coming up is LaSalle head coach Pat McLaughlin. He talks about his linebackers with first names. They are Jared Uran, Brody Engel, Luke Thiemann, and Garrett Bledsoe. Uran, 71 tackles on the year. Bledsoe at 60. The quarterback is a 6'1", 200-pound senior who's going to UC on a baseball scholarship, Griffin Merritt. The very good running back is a sophomore, 5'10", Cam Porter. And I talked with Coach McLaughlin of LaSalle about the fact that his club will now play 17 playoff games, count them, in a four-year span.
16 playoff games in the last 4 years for LaSalle. This is the 17th.
Right.
Your seniors have actually played, what, 4.5 seasons more or less.
Right.
How do they as players deal with all of that?
Yeah, I mean, you get to take care of their bodies, you know. So at this point in time, we're kind of limiting practice a little bit, making sure we're walking through a little bit more. We got to stay in the weight room and make sure our kids are lifting weights so that they can stay healthy throughout the season. But Dan Forgham, our trainer, has been pretty busy the last couple of weeks because these guys have, they definitely put the time in, you know. But they know after 3 or 4 years, some of these guys that are juniors or seniors, they know, you know, what to do, and they know the treatment. They got to come in on Saturday morning early or stay late, or come in like today. We don't have practice this afternoon. We already practiced this morning, so it's an opportunity to go over there and get extra treatment, stretched out, or get whatever they have to get done so they can be ready to go. But I mean, I think most teams would be happy if they could say that they played 17 playoff games in the last, you know, 4 years or whatever it's been.
I should say so. You alluded to your linebacking core a few minutes ago. Talk about them. Highlight the personnel at LB for you. They are very, very talented.
Yeah, they are very talented, and I would say that all of them, as talented as they are on the field, they're probably even better kids. I mean, I got Brody sitting here in class right now, and he's a leader in the school. Garrett's a leader in the school. Jared's doing an unbelievable job in the school. Jared was actually a GCL linebacker of the year first team all league. Garrett was first team all league. Thiem was second team all league, and then Brody was second team all league. But they run around. I think they're really the catalyst for our defense. They make the calls, and the best thing about them is they can both, all four of them, they can stop both the run and the pass. So we got four guys in the middle, and the good thing is they're all back next year. They're only juniors, okay? And so they can play both the run and the pass, and they've done a really good job this year.
It was the talent at linebacker for you the reason you went to the 3-4 here in 2017?
Yeah, exactly right. So we looked at it, and I had watched some film, and I had an idea who I wanted to bring as a defensive coordinator because I coached against them before but never coached with them. And so then I came in and looked at our personnel and the kids that we had, and we really weren't huge up front. We didn't have those two big, like, shade guys and three technique guys. Right. And I felt like we had some defensive linemen that we could move around that were going to be quick and would help us. But I think we had a good core of linebackers and secondary guys, you know, that could help this defense be successful.
What's the Lancers' forte on the offensive side? I know you're highly skilled there. You generate as many passing yards as you do on the ground.
Yeah, we're trying to be balanced. I know a lot of our offense runs through Josh, and our hope is that Josh doesn't really line up in the same spot ever batting back-to-back play. So he's going to be attached. He's going to be number one, two, and three to the field, one to the boundary, two to the boundary, even put him in the backfield a little bit. But everything runs through him, but we're still spreading the ball around. Porter's getting some touches. Deion's getting some carries. You know, Griffin's throwing the ball deep. And so we're trying to attack downfield. We're trying to, you know, throw some screen game in there a little bit. But we've got to be able to run the football here in the playoffs. Obviously, it's going to be very cold tomorrow night. I don't know if there's going to be wind or rain or anything, but we have to be able to run the ball consistently.
Pat McLaughlin, head coach of the LaSalle Lancers, our guest before tonight's game between LaSalle and Sydney. Talk about your strength of schedule. It's a four-team league.
Right.
So you've got three league contests each year. You've got to produce seven additional opponents, and you don't back down from anybody.
No, I mean, that's how it goes. You know, I think when you look at our schedule this year, we had eight teams of the 10 make the playoffs, and then the one that didn't was Elder, who was 6-4,
right,
and they were the ninth seed in Division One. So, you know, we're no different than Winton Woods. You're playing a tough schedule. Yeah, you know, it's twofold here, so hopefully you're battle-tested when you go into the playoffs, which I think we are. We played good competition, we played against good coach, and we played in tight situations to help you out. But as we mentioned earlier, hopefully, you know, we're not taping guys together, you know, on Friday before the game, which, you know, we are a little bit banged up, which all teams are right now. But when you play the physicality of this schedule, you know, hopefully you can just survive, you know, for a couple more games.
Sydney's second playoff appearance ever, first since 1989. What do you see in the Yellow Jackets? Obviously, you viewed several games of videotape.
Yeah, I'm not sure anything about their history, but I know one thing: they're a really good football team this year. They've won 10 games. Anytime you line up and win 10 games, and the game they lost was, I think it could have gone either way. But they are very good, very well coached. They got three really great players. The running back is outstanding. The quarterback's outstanding. They got a defensive tackle that's. You don't miss him on film. You notice him. You know. You notice him right away. So they'll be an even front team. They're going to try to run the ball. So we have to be very good tackling and a very good tackling in space. Once that quarterback gets out, he's hard to tackle. And the running back obviously has proven he's got 2,000 yards. I don't care if you're playing youth football, if you're playing the NFL, if you got 2,000 yards rushing, you know you're a heck of a player. And obviously you've got to have a good offensive line. So. We expect a great game. We expect a game that's going to be very tight, and hopefully being in some of those tight games earlier in the season can help us out.
You talk about the potential closeness of this game. Could come down to the kicking game, and LaSalle's been expert at that all year long. A number of field goals for you.
Yeah, our kicking game's been good. We take a ton of pride in special teams. So, obviously, there's three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. We feel like if we can win the special teams battle every night, then we only have to win, you know, one of the other two phases. And so we put a ton of time in it. We're doing it two or three periods a day. We're doing specialists before practice where our kickers and snappers and punters and holders, they're all out there for 10 to 15 minutes before practice starts, and we're still doing that, you know, this week in the playoffs, and we do that every week. So if it comes down to the kicking game, we feel confident that Jake and Drew Miners can do a good job and our protection can hold up.
I noticed looking at your statistics, you have been opportunistic. I think after you have managed 11 takeaways, you've produced 70-some points.
Right. Yeah, that's a big key of the game. I think when you go back and look at our season, I'm not sure what our plus-minus is in the turnovers, but I definitely think we're in the plus, and the defense has done an outstanding job taking the ball away, giving us a position, putting us in position to be successful offensively. And last week we had two pick sixes. So anytime the defense can score, the special teams can score, and offense can score, you'll take your chances. But Sydney has not turned the ball over a lot, so we're going to really have to force some turnovers, you know, be aggressive, get a bunch of guys to the ball and kind of get the ball out.
Between LaSalle High School and Sydney. Head coach of the LaSalle Lancers, Pat McLaughlin. The team has won 9, dropped 2. The setbacks came on September 22nd against powerhouse Winton Woods, 10-1 on the year, still in the playoffs in this region is Winton Woods, which plays Anderson, by the way, tonight. Winton Woods won that game by 3 over LaSalle, 18-15. 2 weeks later, St. Xavier clobbered LaSalle by a score of 42-7. Lancers have wins over Coleraine in the opener by a 7-3 count. Up at Akron against St. Vincent St. Mary, 17-9. Elder, 13-7. And last week in the opening round of the playoffs, LaSalle defeated Cincinnati Harrison, an 8-3 team, by a score of 45-10. Sydney, of course, just one setback, that one to Troy. Yellow Jackets have reeled off 3 straight wins over Greenville, Butler, and Belmont to close out the campaign up to this point. And the Yellow Jackets hope for their best defensive game here tonight. Sydney will need it. Head coach Adam Dungis has his defensive troops ready. Starting lineups and kickoff coming up in a moment. Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee from here at Miamisburg on scoresbroadcast.com.
Meet the team at Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine. Our physicians, trainers, and therapists are highly skilled and treat injuries unique to student athletes. Wilson Athletic Trainers serve specific schools and are on site at sports contests. The Injured Athlete Clinic is open Mondays. Sports enhancement programs boost strength, speed, and flexibility. Phone 937-498-5548 or visit wilsonhospital.com. Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine in Sydney, keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
Honey, why does the doorbell ring when I turn on the kitchen lights?
I rewired that. It should work now.
No, it doesn't.
Don't rely on short-term fixes that need long-term solutions. A U.S. Bank Home Equity line of credit may help turn the equity in your home into lasting improvements. Visit a U.S. Bank branch, usbank.com/dreambig, or call 800-209-BANK.
Home sweet normal home.
Some restrictions may apply. Subject to credit approval, mortgage and home equity products offered through U.S. Bank National Association, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center markets in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCal supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCal Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
Holloway Sportswear in Sydney features the full game plan of athletic apparel. Bags, fan gear, warm-ups, outerwear, and much more. Deep color offerings, unbeatable quality, and the latest trends in high-performance fabrics. Holloway gets fans, coaches, and athletes to the bonus line with extras that help fashion their games. Check your local sporting goods store and rule the sideline with Holloway Sportswear. Download catalogs and view product videos at HollowayUSA.com.
High quality furniture priced just right, always at Goffney Furniture, Route 47 west of I-75 in Sydney. And for your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. That's Goffney Furniture, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
The Sydney Yellow Jackets won the toss to start the game. Chuck chose to defer. We'll kick off here in the first quarter. Sydney will get the ball to start the second half. LaSalle will be moving from north to south on your phone or computer as you use your imagination, left to right, as we look down on Holland Field here at Miamisburg. Excellent crowd on hand. The new stadium constructed for last season here at Miamisburg. Seats in excess of 6,000. There's probably 4,800 to 5,000 here now. The Sydney side down below us, the home side, is about 75% full. The LaSalle side across the way is probably half full. Opening kickoff by Sydney, Chuck, is a blooper. That's called what, a wedge or a nine iron? Popped up down to the 36-yard line where LaSalle fair catches.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of fair catches on kickoffs, but it's legal.
Here come the LaSalle Lancers to the line of scrimmage. Power spread formation. One back alongside the quarterback, Griffin Merritt. The running back is Cam Porter. Two receivers split to the near side. One is 6'7", Josh Wiley. Here's the give to Porter. Opening play of the game. He spurts right up the middle behind his center, and he bores a hole in Sydney's defense and bangs out to the 44-yard line as he rushes for 8 to start the game. Second down and 2 for the Lancers from the LaSalle 44. New formation. Unbalanced to the right. Here is the pitch out on the play by Merritt. Merritt gives it to Porter. Porter skirting right in, uses the width of the field. A flag flies as Porter rambles for about 7 or 8 more across the 50. The marker is being picked up by the referee, who indicates a foul against LaSalle.
And the chain gang moved the chains. I got to figure out where they came from.
Well, I think the previous line of scrimmage was the 44. Where did the foul occur? That's the spot from which the penalty will be marked off. LaSalle Lancers, the home team on the scoreboard and on the field, wearing the home red, white headgear, black pants. Sydney Yellow Jackets, the road white, black numbers outlined in gold, black pants, black and gold helmets. Second down for LaSalle. Line of scrimmage now is back at the 37-yard line. Penalty was marked off from a spot downfield. Here's a screen left flat. It is caught by Porter at the 34. It's a bubble screen. He's got blockers out in front. He's beyond the hash mark far side, even with the numbers, and he charges ahead to the 45, toppled at the 46, and he garners enough yards for a first down.
Boy, they run fast out of this, don't they?
Yes. We've got four receivers to the left. The ball is thrown back to the right, and it's caught by the wide-open split end at the 47 of Sydney, and he puts his head down and digs hard to the 42. Chuck, we've seen a handful of plays from LaSalle, and a varied formation, a different one each time.
Each time, and I'll tell you, that was Wiley that time, and he just took the defender and shoved him to the ground with a stiff arm.
Now Wiley at 6'7", is flanked 15 yards to the right. Here's a toss sweep to the right. Merritt on the pitch out to Porter. Porter barrels around right in. He carves out space inside the 40 and lunges down to the 37 of Sidney. Stockton came up to trip him up as Sidney limits that play to 5. Second down and 5 for LaSalle. 37-yard line of Sidney. Game's opening 90 seconds. Here's Merritt faking the pitch to the right. Then he flips the screen to the fullback. Downfield at the 34. He catches, and then he drives hard inside the 30. Upended at the 27 of Sidney. First and 10 for LaSalle.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was Wiley again, and they have used him three different ways so far in this drive.
He was in the offensive backfield in that play. Four receivers to the right. Here is a flare pass into the flat to Porter. It's thrown ahead to Porter by a yard. He juggles, drops. It's ruled incomplete. Boy, that been a yard back, Chuck. It might have been called a lateral and a loose football.
But he did a nice job of realizing that, and he went after it. He didn't just let die on the play. He didn't take a chance that it wasn't a backward pass.
Incompletion for LaSalle on first and 10 from the Sidney 27. So it's second and 10 Lancers, who stacked two receivers to the left side of the formation. They are on the boundary side, split about 8 yards, and two backs, one alongside Porter to the right, or I should say one alongside Merritt to the right, one to the left. The ball is given by Merritt to the ball carrier, who runs around right end. He breaks a tackle, another at the 20, and he shoots to the 15 and dives ahead to the 11 of Sidney.
That was Deion Campbell, and they're really moving people around in the backfield. This is a tough offense to try to figure out.
That was Deion Campbell, who splits the running with Cam Porter. Porter is a little speedier, Campbell a little larger, and the Lancers have a first and 10 at the Sidney 11. A little over a minute and a half gone here in the opening quarter. Merritt back to pass, looking end zone, far hash mark, young man wide open, caught 7 yards deep in the end zone for the touchdown for the Lancers.
He had a choice of two receivers that time that would have scored a touchdown on that play.
Devontae Smith was the gentleman who caught the ball for LaSalle in the end zone. He was in motion, and he wasn't covered coming out of the backfield, and LaSalle spotted him wide open. Good throw by Merritt, but you're right, Chuck. Another receiver was available, too. Seibert on to try the extra point. Low snap. It does get spotted down on the ground, and Seibert smacks it up, and no good. It tailed off to the right. Wind might have drifted that one outside the right post. 6-0 LaSalle. We played less than 2 minutes opening quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field-level windows that they installed down on the playing surface so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge, and that's been a really big sell in recruiting, and it looks nice, and it's very well done.
UK's soccer complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass, AAGIncOH.com.
LaSalle Lancers go 64 yards, Chuck, in a minute and 43 seconds. Must have been, what, 9 or 10 plays, but it took less than 2 minutes off the clock.
They did not huddle up once.
Wow, you talk about a fast-track, up-tempo offense. I've seen some speedy ones, none like this before.
Not in high school.
Nope. But the extra point was missed.
Bad snap.
Yeah.
He did a good job of getting the ball up. He just couldn't get the direction on it.
Timing was disrupted. Kick a bit wide. 6-0 LaSalle. Just over 10 to play here in the opening quarter. Lancers kicking off from the far hash mark. Yellow Jackets need to start with good field position and take time off the clock in this opening drive. keep the ball out of LaSalle's hands.
Wow.
The boot by Seibert is driven hard, slight wind at his back, and he mashed that one. It lands 7 yards deep in the end zone, and Sidney will start first down, 10 yards to go.
You suppose that if he's not busy tomorrow, he could go kick off for Ohio State?
And the number one kicker for the Bengals, I think, came up with a bad back a week ago. Could fill in for him. Cincinnati might be in need of a wide receiver as well. LaSalle might have one of those. Yellow Jackets have got a fine attack as well, including Isaiah Bowser, who gets the nod on first and 10 from the 20. He rams to the 21. He's shoved back. We will keep our eyes on these junior linebackers for LaSalle, Jared Uran, Brody Engel, Luke Thiemann, and Garrett Bledsoe, all 11th graders, and they are excellent against the run. Six defenders in the box for LaSalle. Gordon takes the snap. He runs right, fakes the pitch, keeps it. He's tripped up right at the 21, 3rd and 9 for Sidney.
That was Bledsoe, and boy, he got penetration that time, and Gordon didn't have a chance.
Yellow Jackets playing fast as well, up to the line of scrimmage in a hurry. Two receivers flanked to the left. Here is where Andre Gordon often looks for Rodtez Roberts. Possession down for the Jackets. First 2.5 minutes of the game. Snap back to Gordon, sprints left. Still rolling, almost out of real estate. Fires a pass up ahead to the 35 on the sideline, right in front of the Sidney bench, in the hands of the receiver and out. Taborn was there. He couldn't reel it in, got a fist on it, and the ball fell harmlessly into the Sidney bench.
He just held that. I mean, and nothing he could do about it, but he held it just a little too long that time. So even though he had his hands on it, he was going to be out of bounds anyway.
Yeah, Andre needed to deliver that one just a stride or two sooner.
But he's rolling left and trying to throw right. He's right-handed. That's a tough throw.
Not easy to do. 9:16 to go in the first. LaSalle leads 6-0. Nick Rainey on to punt for Sidney. It's a line drive directional kick, far side of the field. No return by LaSalle because the ball lands out of bounds around the 50. And that's where the Lancers start. First down, 10 yards to go. I think Sidney got a favorable spot on that, Chuck. Looked like to me it went out of bounds on the Sidney 47 or 48.
It hit and then bounced. I couldn't tell exactly where it went out.
Right. And it may have hopped in the air and stayed in bounds and broken the plane out of bounds at the midfield stripe. And that's where LaSalle starts. First down, 10 yards to go. Griffin Merritt, the quarterback, he's in the spread. He's got men in the slots left and right. Pat McLaughlin, head coach, along with his offensive coordinator on the far side, signaling in the play call for Merritt. Here's a change in the formation. Toss sweep to the left. It's Porter around left end, gets a block, and he puts his nose down and ramrods ahead to the 45 of Sidney. He produces 5 on 1st and 10, 2nd and 5 for LaSalle.
That didn't look like it had a prayer, and he got 5 yards out of it.
8:52 left here in the first quarter. LaSalle 6, Sidney nothing. Yellow Jackets went 3 and out on their first possession from the 20. Here's where Sidney needs to come up with a big defensive stop and force LaSalle into a 3rd and 5 or more. 3 receivers flanked right. Merritt takes the snap and just runs, scampers around left end, and he is somersaulted out of bounds at the 40 near the first down stake. And he might have catapulted his body in midair to the 38 or 39 of Sidney. He did. He got 6 or 7 and a first down for LaSalle. Lancers to the line of scrimmage in a hurry. Andrew Yeager over the ball at center. Here's Merritt with a deep drop way back at the 47. Buys some time. He breaks contain. He was nearly tackled for a loss. Runs up to the line of scrimmage. He spilled from behind. Raked away by Sidney. Loose on the turf. And the Yellow Jackets recover the fumble. Big play. Zach Webb for Sidney. Plopped on it. Wow, Sidney with fine defensive pressure. Merritt was almost sacked, Chuck, a good, what, dozen yards behind the line?
Yeah, I don't know how he got out of that. And then Sidney did a nice job of stripping him as he got into the traffic.
Oh, that's what you got to do. Hold up that ball carrier for a second or two longer, get some help, and rip that ball away. You see it in the NFL every Sunday. Jackets down 6-0 with possession. Here's a toss sweep to the left. It's Bowser around left end. Whoops, we've got a hold against Sydney. Bowser curved around the left side of the field for a couple yards, but it's a major infraction against Sydney. So far, the Yellow Jackets have found the yards tough to come by against this vaunted LaSalle defense. Something's got to give here tonight. Bowser at over 8 yards per carry. LaSalle giving up as a team just over 2 yards per rush all season long. And the penalty sets Sydney back to the Yellow Jackets' 26-yard line. First down and 21 now, as the penalty occurred a yard behind the line. 4 minutes gone here in the opening quarter. LaSalle 6, Sydney nothing. Yellow Jackets to the line of scrimmage. Snap back to Gordon. Here's a quick out, right flat, caught up at the 27. Receiver with a good run after catch, breaks a tackle, another. Barrels down the sideline, knocked out of bounds at the 40 or 41-yard line.
I think it was Bowser.
Wow, nice reception by Bowser, an even better run after catch. He is so nimble. Yep, he's got power and strength, Chuck, but he can make you miss. He is extremely agile, and boy, a couple Lancers had good shots at him, but couldn't nail him.
Yeah, he made the first guy miss bad. The second guy, the only thing that got him is he forced him out of bounds.
The play generated 14. Quarterback draw by Gordon on second down and 7, and he stopped after picking up 2 at the 43. Possession down coming for Sydney, 3rd and 4, with 7.5 to go in the opening quarter. LaSalle 6, Sydney nothing. LaSalle Lancers fumbled the football on their second possession after scoring on their first, as Sydney stripped it from quarterback Griffin Merritt of LaSalle. Three receivers to the left for Sydney. Two linebackers coming up to the line of scrimmage for LaSalle. Looks like a blitz. Gordon may be altering the play call. Jackets need 4 on this play. Deep drop, but Gordon rolled left and back to the right. He may have to eat it. He runs far side of the field at the numbers, and he's caught from behind at the 44-yard line. He weaved his way for a yard or two, but needed more.
Well, that was a design play, and I'll tell you, Uran did a great job. He started to flow with it. He saw him reverse, and he was as quick as Gordon was. I'm not sure I've ever said that out loud.
Great tackle. Fine run to the spot by Jared Uran, the superb linebacker for LaSalle. And Sydney is stopped short of a first down by at least 3 yards. Fourth down from inside the Sydney 45. Rainey on to punt. Good snap. Fine kick by Rainey. Very high. Far side. Directional boot. Angles it out of bounds. Let's see what kind of a spot Sydney gets here. Ball will be lined up somewhere in the area of the 35-yard line.
Wow.
Try the 38. That's where the Lancers begin. First down, 10 yards to go. With 6:25 left in the opening quarter, Sydney down 6-0. Now hopefully Sydney's defense, Chuck, is using the first half of this initial quarter to adjust to LaSalle's offense, and it's not an easy adjustment. LaSalle throws every formation imaginable at you. And Josh Wiley, the 6'7 wide receiver, is all over the field. He's been everywhere, left, right, split 5 yards, split 10, in the offensive backfield as well. Here's Cam Porter, quick burst right up the middle for LaSalle. And he rumbles up over the 45. Knee went down at the 47 as he reeled off 9 quick ones. Second down and 1 for the Lancers. Ryan Cagle made the stop, or that play could have gone for 25 or 30. Here is a quick count. It's given to Porter. Porter with a juke in the offensive backfield, angles between left guard and tackle, and knifes his way over the 50 to the Sydney 49. It's a first and 10 for the Lancers. 5:50 left here in the opening quarter. 6-0 LaSalle, which features two receivers to the right, one to the left. Man in motion across the formation. That was Wiley. Merritt, the quarterback, looks for him, can't find him. Rolls left, and then throws a low pass down the left sideline, incomplete at the Sydney 34-yard line.
Good defense that time. They did a good job. That was supposed to go to Wiley, and they did a good job recovering him in motion out that side, so he had to go to his second spot.
Exactly. The hot receiver was Wiley. Sydney had him blanketed. And Merritt was throttled. The quarterback for LaSalle had nowhere to throw. Second down and 10, Lancers, 48 of Sidney. Here is Merritt, back to throw, deep in the pocket. Long bomb, far hash mark, wide open receiver, 13. He's got it, 10, 5, touchdown for the Lancers. It was Jake Seibert on the reception. He's a wideout and the place kicker, and he beat two safeties for Sidney. Merritt uncorked a long one. He threw a 50-some-yard strike in the air, and LaSalle's on the board again, 12-0.
That was a slow-developing drought, and they did a nice job of giving him time to throw it.
It was a deceptive route, and it sucked Sidney's defensive backs forward. Seibert slipped beyond him. Merritt bought time in the offensive backfield. Superb protection for him, and he unloaded a long one. Here's the extra point kick by Seibert. Not artistic. It's a low one. It clears the crossbar by about 4 or 5 feet.
Another bad snap. The snap was down on the ground. It's really messing up their timing.
Yes, it was a low snap, but Seibert got that one up and through between the uprights. And with 5:37 left to go opening quarter, it's LaSalle 13, Sidney nothing on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sidney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
LaSalle Lancers have scored twice, Chuck, in the first 6 minutes and 23 seconds. Sidney Yellow Jackets have their work cut out for them. Sidney, on one of the next couple possessions, Chuck, can't simply settle for swapping field position. Jackets need to put points on the board.
They don't have a first down yet, so they need to start with baby steps.
Yep. Here is the kickoff coming up by LaSalle. Wind at the back of Seibert, who strolls forward and boots a high end-over-end kickoff to the 3-yard line. Sidney returns. Big opening right back up the middle. 25, 30. It's Bowser on the loose. Look at him go. He chugs to the 39, 40. Up and over it. Nailed from behind at the 41. Isaiah Bowser, one man to beat. Great run by Bowser as he returns it 38 yards for the Yellow Jackets. Ball marked for play at the 42. Call it a 39-yard bring back of the kickoff by LaSalle.
Got the crowd back in a little bit, too, for the Yellow Jackets.
Sidney to the line of scrimmage. Two receivers left, two to the right. Here's Gordon giving to Bowser. Isaiah over left tackle. Good penetration by LaSalle into the offensive backfield as it was Bledsoe laying a hand on Bowser, but he kept his balance. And with his hand on the ground, managed to move ahead to the 46-yard line. He was almost crawling, but a strong effort by Bowser, who was nearly caught at the line of scrimmage. He wound up with a plus 5, second and 5 for the Yellow Jackets. Gordon feeds Bowser again. Left guard, he's met solidly at the 49 as he punched up ahead for 2. Third and 3 for the Yellow Jackets, shy of midfield. Boy, you block the up front 3 or 4 for LaSalle, then the linebackers run free, and they are steady. Jared Uran, Brody Engel, Luke Thiemann, and Garrett Bledsoe. Snap to Gordon. Gordon rolls right. Oh, here's a hard charging linebacker, knocking Gordon off his pins at the 48-yard line. No gain.
Jacob Newton, and boy, he just put him down fast.
Fourth down for Sidney, and at least 3 yards to go for a first down. And I thought for an instant, Chuck, head coach Adam Dungis might decide to go for it. It's a bit early to push the panic button.
Two scores, I don't think, at midfield. If it was fourth and 1, you might see it, but not fourth and 3.
Right. 3:58 left in the opening quarter, 13-0 LaSalle. Sidney's Rainey on to punt. Ball will be snapped back to him from the 49. He kicks it far sideline. Didn't get this one downfield very far. Angled it sharply into the LaSalle bench. That ball may have gone out of bounds in flight between the 38 and 40-yard line. And it's marked right at the 39.
They only gained 12 yards out of that.
Uh-huh. So. You're right, Chuck. A net of only a dozen on the change of possession. Well, the Yellow Jackets defense has only stopped LaSalle once, and that was the result of a takeaway. The other two Lancers drives resulting in scores. Merritt, the quarterback, Porter behind him, three receivers flanked to the right, one to the far left side. Wiley down here at the bottom on the Sydney side of the field. Flags fly before the snap. Motion call, pre-snap foul against LaSalle.
There's been like three or four times that I've thought possibly the backfield was moving just a little quickly.
Yeah, they are quick off the ball, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And some officiating crews call that just a bit differently.
Yep.
Some referees are tighter on that motion call, others a little loose. First and 15, Merritt to throw from his 27. Rifles one, left sideline. Yes, it's caught up at the 45. And a quick turn by Seibert, and he spins out of bounds at the 47. I said Seibert, it was Wiley, the big 6'7 wideout for LaSalle, who earned a gain on the play of a dozen. Second down and three, Lancers at the LaSalle 47. 3.5 to go in the opening quarter, and LaSalle leads Sydney 13-0. Two receivers left, two to the right. Here's a short drop by Merritt. Again, a sideline throw. Wiley wants more on the reception. He hauls it in. He is barreled to the ground right away, but he did pick up five or so and a first down to the Sydney 49.
Bowser came up and put a lick on him, but he did have a first down.
Sydney Yellow Jacket defenders in a zone defensively at the moment. LaSalle has got the short patterns available to them. Merritt, short drop again. Here comes pressure. Look out. Quarterback sack. Back at the 41. Wow, what a hit by the Sydney Yellow Jackets. As barreling in there was Braden Dean. And he shouldered Griffin Merritt to the ground right now. A QB sack by Dean. And that's a big play for Sydney's defense, setting up a second and 18 for the Lancers. Line of scrimmage, the 43 of LaSalle. Man in motion way across the formation. Boy, he was almost going forward. Here is a screen pass in the left flat by Merritt, who's running for his life way back at the 29. He dumps it off incomplete.
Sydney's starting to put some pressure on now defensively.
Sydney defenders being turned loose up front.
And when did you think that the Sydney defense would be the team that might turn the game around for them a little bit? It's just been the opposite for about the last 3 years.
No question here tonight, the Yellow Jackets defense has got to play extremely strong. It cannot afford to give up a first down here, that's for sure. Yellow Jackets defense has got LaSalle in a vice. Third down, 18 yards to go. Here's Merritt in the spread. Oh, he's running for his life again. He gets away from a tackler behind the line of scrimmage, flips it down the left sideline. Lancer receiver coming back toward the line of scrimmage, makes the grab. It's Porter at the 46. He's immediately decked, about seven short of a first down. Let's see what the Lancers do here on fourth down from the Sydney 44, a favorable spot. Lancers need five, and they're going to go for it. Three receivers to the right for Merritt. 2.5 to go in the opening quarter. Sydney trails 13-0. Merritt down a deeper drop, 10 yards behind the line, and he's going to pooch punt it. He does. It hits at the 20-yard line of Sydney. It's rolling. Lancers have three men down there, and they corral the ball at the 1.5.
What a great, great play and a heck of a punt.
Has LaSalle practiced that a time or two?
I would say that wasn't their first time attempting that.
Yep, the Yellow Jackets are backed up, first and 10 inside their own two, with 2:27 left to go here in the opening period. And Andre Gordon will take the snap from center in the spread about 4 yards deep in the end zone. Isaiah Bowser lines up back there with him right now, about 6 yards deep in the end zone. One receiver to the wide side for Andre. who takes the snap, gives to Bowser. Uh-oh, Bowser stuffed at the goal line. Did he get across it? Is he at the six-inch line? Did he avoid a safety? Oh, the Lancer fans thought it was 2 points for LaSalle, and Sidney is given the benefit of the doubt from the six-inch line. Sidney has it second down. Bowser lost almost a yard in that play. He barely nudged the ball out of the blue Miamisburg Vikings end zone. Second down, Gordon, 5 yards deep in the end zone. Here's a toss sweep to Bowser, 9 yards deep in the end zone, and he wants to throw, batted down at the 8-yard line.
Gutsy call that was. Wow. I'll tell you what, it had a chance to work. I couldn't believe when I thought they're not running a sweep that deep in their own end zone.
You're so right, Chuck. Caleb Harris had an opportunity to catch that ball short of the 10. He might have been able to run for a first down.
Well, they hit Bowser right when he threw it.
Exactly.
He could not follow through at all.
Yep. Isaiah was in traffic 8 or 9 yards deep in the end zone when he threw that football. Third and 11 for Sidney from inside the Jackets one. Snap to Gordon. Looks middle of the field. It's a skinny post for Stockton. Behind him, no good at the 12.
Now they're going to not be able to be as deep as they normally are when they punt, so let's see if LaSalle tries to put pressure on him.
Yep, Rainey will be punting this football after a stride forward, Chuck. Maybe as few as 6-7 yards behind his center.
Well, he has to make sure, first of all, that he doesn't catch the ball and step backwards.
Right.
And he's only been kicking the ball about 15 to 20 yards, so I don't think I'd put pressure on the deep backs are at the 30.
Yep, LaSalle to receive the kick at the 30. Snap back to Rainey. And this one is straight up in the air. Takes a Sidney bounce. Hits at the 27. LaSalle on the return from the 33. A wall is set up. There's a block. Another block. The return man down the sideline. 10-5 goal line. Did he get in? Might be out of bounds at the half-yard line. What a return. The defensive back, Craig Wills of LaSalle. Might have been a flag thrown as well. Let's see what results. It was a short kick by Rainey. It bounced once. Wills gobbled it up, and then he reversed his field. He went laterally from one sideline to the other. Illegal block in the back against LaSalle on the return.
Wow, I saw the block, and it absolutely was a clean slobber knocker. There is no way that should have been a penalty. No way.
90 seconds left here in the opening quarter, 13-0. LaSalle leads Sidney. And the Lancers, after the penalty call, will start from about the 35-yard line of Sidney. You're saying, Chuck, that was a fortuitous call for Sidney?
I would say that was a legitimate block. And the official from behind could not have, the guy who threw it couldn't have possibly seen where his head was.
Right.
I saw this block, and boy, he knocked him silly.
Line of scrimmage, the 40-yard line. That's where it's marked for play. First and 10, LaSalle. Here is Merritt giving on the play to Campbell. Campbell is fullback. Veers outside left tackle. He's beyond the linebackers of Sidney, and he is thrown to the ground down around the 31 or 32-yard line as he ripped off 8, second down and 2 for LaSalle. A minute 10 left in the opening period. LaSalle 13, Sidney nothing. Two receivers to the right for the quarterback, Griffin Merritt. Porter behind him. Porter has dealt the ball. Outside left tackle he goes. He spun around at the 29. Forward progress got him the first down. First and 10 Lancers, under a minute to play here in the opening period. Line of scrimmage is inside the Sidney 30. Lancers send two receivers wide right. Wiley flanked to the left. Quarterback is Griffin Merritt. Looks to the LaSalle sideline for an adjustment in the play call. Porter alongside to his right. And it's a direct snap to Porter. It's wide. It's off his hands. And he jumps on it back at the 35. Wow. LaSalle averting a big miscue there. And from the 34 now, the Lancers face second down and 15 to go for a first down after the loss of 5. Three receivers to the right. Here's Merritt in the pocket. Here comes the Sidney rush. Ball thrown short at the feet of Wiley at the 23. Good effort up front by Tyler Shiflett, Braden Dean, and Devin Rogers for Sydney. As they got hands up in the face of the quarterback, Griffin Merritt, who was off target on that one. Third and 15 for the Lancers from the Sydney 34-yard line. We're down to 8 seconds to go here in the opening quarter. Merritt looks again to his offensive coordinator on the LaSalle bench. Final play of the opening period, unless it's a quick incompletion. Ball thrown in the flat to Porter, and Merritt leads him too far, and that's what we have. A very hasty, incompleted pass, leaving LaSalle a fourth and 15 with 4 seconds to go in the opening period. Tell you what, Chuck, the defensive pressure here by Sydney has frustrated LaSalle in the last three plays.
Well, they have to get rid of the ball quicker than he wants to, and he's throwing them short. He's throwing off his back foot.
Yellow Jackets send a deep man back at the five. Seibert, who's 8 of 10 in field goals this year for LaSalle, is on to try a 51-yarder with the wind.
I will be impressed.
Ball will be placed down at the 41 if indeed LaSalle carries out the kick, and they do. Ball snapped back. Here's the kick by Seibert. He's got enough distance. It's high. It is twisting off to the right just outside the upright. He had it with 2 or 3 yards to spare.
He definitely had the distance, and it was off probably about a yard and a half to the right.
It was a close call. Sydney dodges points at the end of the first quarter. Yellow Jackets ball as we start period number two. One quarter played here at Miamisburg's Holland Field. LaSalle 13, Sydney nothing on scoresbroadcast.com.
This very popular location for out-of-this-world food is right in between Bodkin's, Anna, New Bremen, and Jackson Center. But people come from towns everywhere.
My husband and I have heard about In-Between's great reputation for years. We finally drove up to the In-Between Tavern from 30 miles away late last year and have been here several times since.
And you, too, will return to the In-Between for out-of-this-world chops, steaks, fish, chicken, and more.
I've been eating fried chicken at restaurants for nearly 20 years, and the In-Between has the very, very best chicken I think I've ever had.
Your whole family will like the In-Between.
Tonight, 7 of us, including 5 children, ate delicious pizza for less than $30. That's a super value.
At the In-Between, watch your favorite game on TV. In-Between those tasty bites.
The food at the In-Between is just out of this world.
At the south edge of Bodkin's, 25 and 274.
This is Jack along with Chuck. Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee here at Miamisburg. As a result of the missed 51-yard field goal by LaSalle, Sydney starts first and 10 from its own 20, down 13 to nothing beginning of the second quarter. Good play fake by Andre Gordon in the offensive backfield. He keeps, runs around right in. He's out of bounds at the 26 and drilled late. That's a penalty on LaSalle. That's major. 15-yard walk-off, unsportsmanlike conduct.
That was absolutely silly. It gave Sydney their first down of the game.
Gordon scampered for 6, and he got well beyond the boundary, and then he was plowed into by a Lancer. And right away, the markers came in. New line of scrimmage for Sydney will be at the 41. Yellow Jackets with a drive and a touchdown here, Chuck, can make this an interesting game in the second period.
Absolutely, to get it down to one score.
Yep. First and 10 for Sydney, 41-yard line. Two receivers left. Andre Gordon, 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage in the spread. Isaiah Bowser alongside. Let's see what's up Sydney's sleeve here on first and 10. Gordon gives to Bowser. No hole left side. Goes right. He's got running room. Bowser puts his head down and look at him bolt over the 50. 45. He turns it on to the 40. And he's smacked out of bounds at the 39. Isaiah Bowser for what, Chuck? Every bit of 20 on the
21.
Play? 21-yard dash by Bowser. First and 10 Jackets inside the 40 of LaSalle. 13 seconds into the second quarter. Two receivers to the left. Again, it's Bowser. He weaves his way up to the line of scrimmage and then lurches forward for a couple to the 37. Offensive line for Sydney's got to come up big on this drive. Rucker, Brussel, Vanderpool, Collingsworth, Smith. That quintet along the line of scrimmage needs to open up pockets for Bowser. Second down and 8. Looked like Sidney was well offside, and it's a pre-snap penalty. It's a good thing because Andre Gordon was going to be belted behind the line of scrimmage.
Well, I don't have a 12 on my Sidney roster.
Second down and 14 to go for the Yellow Jackets from the 43-yard line of LaSalle. 1, 2, 3 receivers flanked to the left for Sidney.
Looked like a Canadian play that time.
It sure did. Caleb Harris, one of the trio, along with Darren Taborn, to the wide side of the field. Rotez Roberts to the short side. And we have an official running into the offensive backfield, motioning that the scoreboard clock should have been started, perhaps. Play clock was running down inside 7. Now the scoreboard clock has wound up, 11:18, 11:17 to go in the second. Snap back to Gordon on 1st and 14. It is low on the ground, thrown ahead by a half yard by Gordon at the feet of Taborn. Incomplete. A LaSalle cornerback, Chuck, came screaming in there and nearly picked it off shoe top high. Sidney catches a break. That play did not result in a takeaway by LaSalle. 3rd and 14 for Sidney from the LaSalle 43-yard line. Same formation as before. Deep drop by Gordon. He's got time. Middle of the field looks. Throws a bullet on the dead run. Caught by Caleb Harris at the 31. Down inside the 30. He lost the football. LaSalle ripped it out. Here come the Lancers back upfield to the 40. Penalty markers fly. Everything happening on the last play. A good crossing route by Harris. And then LaSalle double-teamed him.
That was a classic strip. He got a hand in there and just stripped that ball out.
Ball was tomahawk free. That's the way you do it. Excellent technique displayed by LaSalle, which punched it out. And then the return after the fumble recovery produced yardage out beyond the 40. And now the referees have a confab to determine what results from here. It will be LaSalle possession. Clearly the penalty occurred after the ball was scooped up by LaSalle and the Lancers had gained possession. That's what, Chuck, the second turnover in this game so far?
Yep, fumble. LaSalle had the fumble, and that was the first one for the Yellow Jackets.
Well, we are a minute and 2 seconds into the second quarter, and the officials still are having a meeting at the 40-yard line. And eventually, the head referee will face us and let us know what.
Well, we got two flags, so I think what they're talking about is if there was two penalties on the play, which one is I think they're against LaSalle. You would obviously take the one farther down the field.
Mm-hmm. I did note, Chuck, in reviewing stats before the game, that LaSalle was penalized an average of better than 70 yards per contest.
Wow.
That's a little high.
That is high.
Yeah. And LaSalle will have possession, perhaps back down around its own 20, 25-yard line. Well, that was a very effective play by Sidney. Fine crossing route by Harris in front of the DBs for LaSalle. As Harris found a soft spot in the zone, Gordon hit him with a throw right on the numbers. And then LaSalle put the whammy on Harris downfield after he scampered down around the 25-yard line with the ball.
That was two dead ball penalties. They marched off the one against LaSalle, then they had one against Sidney. They just marched it back up, so they're actually about the 36 now.
So they offset. 1st and 10 for the Lancers from their own 37-yard line. Here's Merritt. Here's Porter right up the gut. He's got a crevice, and he slides through it up ahead to the 43, 44. He garners 6 or 7. Second down, a little more than 3 needed for LaSalle. Webb in on the hit for Sidney. Two receivers to the far right for LaSalle. It's an I formation look. Campbell and Porter in the backfield with the quarterback Merritt, who's got two receivers to the short side. Merritt deals Porter. He hits a stack of humanity, white shirts from Sydney, in his path at the 46. That will set up a third and a yard and a half for LaSalle. Two minutes gone here in the second quarter. It's been a slowly played game, a lot of stoppages of action. 13-0 LaSalle. Sydney needs to thwart this third and about 4 feet to go for the Lancers at the LaSalle 46. Snap back to Merritt. Gives it to Porter again. He races up to the line of scrimmage, puts his head down and barges to the 50. He got four first down LaSalle. Another very good LaSalle team here in 2017, bidding for state championship in a row number four, going for a four-peat after winning the three-peat one season ago. I don't think this LaSalle team is quite as good as the club the last 2 years, but nonetheless, it's a high-powered offensive group with four terrific linebackers on defense. Here's Porter on the end sweep. He cuts around left end. Gets his shoulders squared up, going south-north, and he bullets his way down inside the 45 of LaSalle to the 44, dropped right there after a 7-yard advance, second and three for the Lancers.
That's a pretty good-looking sophomore.
Yeah, he has got wheels. Two receivers in the slot to the right. That's the heavy side of the field, and we got a marker. Motion call against the Lancers, who have seemed to be guilty of that on a few other occasions in this contest.
Well, we've seen it called three times, and I've probably seen it 10 times. When they do that slide over for the direct snap, yeah. They've always got two people moving.
Seems at times, Chuck, like LaSalle's offensive sets and formations are maybe a little bit too complex for their own good at times.
Yeah, I think they're probably good enough they could line up and play it a little straighter.
Right. Second down and nine for the Lancers from the Sydney 49. 8:43 to go in the second quarter. LaSalle 13, Sydney nothing. Slot right. And Merritt, the quarterback, rolls that way. Hits a receiver, a wideout, who's cutting across field left to right. He snags it on the dead run at the 42. He's bumped out of bounds at the Sydney 40. It is a first down for the Lancers. Caleb Harris rode the receiver Roberts of LaSalle to the sideline. Jake Roberts, Jake Seibert, two fine wideouts for LaSalle along with Josh Wiley, the 6'7 lad. 8:28 to go here in the second quarter. 13-0 LaSalle. First and 10 Lancers. It's a toss sweep to Campbell. Campbell around right end. He's got an escort of blockers out in front. Look at him go. He rumbles down inside the 35, 30, lunging to the Sydney 28-yard line. It was Devin Rogers, Chuck, who managed to slide way out to the left, covering a lot of ground to Devin to track down Campbell. He bolted downfield for a first down to the Sydney 28. Just over the 8-minute mark, second quarter. 13-0 LaSalle. Here's Merritt, toss sweep, Campbell again. Short side of the field, he's got an avenue. Look at him go, he's down inside the 20. Got a block, broken tackle. 15-10, flushed out of bounds. Let's see where. Well, LaSalle blocked it well enough. Play went to the short side. Sydney didn't have numbers over there, Chuck, and LaSalle blocked it pretty well.
Yeah, he's got some pretty good quickness. I mean, he's definitely bigger than Porter.
Yep.
But that was pretty good speed down the sideline also.
Goal to go from the 8. This is Porter in the offensive backfield. Fakes right, goes left.
Wow.
He reaches forward at the 3, 2, up and over for the touchdown goes Cam Porter for LaSalle.
I don't know how he got through there that time. He had about a 5 or 6 yard run.
Wow.
I don't know how he got to the end zone. That's a heck of a run.
Gifted run by the quarterback Porter, who instinctively managed to thread his way 9 yards and then a shot of energy to get the last two or three, and it's a touchdown Lancers who are on top 19-0. Seibert on for the point after. He's 1 for 2 in that department so far. And the kick is driven up and through. Seibert's kick is right on the money. He's 2 of 3 in PATs on the night. And LaSalle owns a 20-0 lead over Sydney. early on second quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
This business and proud sponsor of high school sports provides valuable products and services for our local agriculture industry.
Well, here at Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed, we have three retail locations, one just east of New Knoxville, one just south of Jackson Center, and one here in Pemberton, Ohio.
Matt Bambauer, who manages the Pemberton store, said area farms have relied on Bambauer for fertilizers, seeds, and crop protection chemicals for over half a century.
For me, this work has been a way of life since I was a kid. There's actually four generations of my family that's been serving the ag industry. If you really wanted to look, it goes clear back to the 1930s.
Service is more than just a word at Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed. It's a promise that is kept with each customer every single time.
We serve the ag industry in six west central Ohio counties. Here at Bambauer's, we pride ourselves in providing the very best products and services to our customers.
On the web at Bambauer, Bambauer, fertilizer.com.
LaSalle Lancers lead the Sydney Yellow Jackets by a 20-0 count. 4 minutes gone here in quarter number two. Sydney on the return of the LaSalle kickoff. Ball is fielded at the 17 and brought back and up and over the 25 to the 27. 10-yard return on the play by Harris, and that's where the Jackets start first and 10. Well, Chuck, the Yellow Jackets need continuity offensively, need three or four first downs, need to get on the board before the break, get it back to a two-score difference.
Well, they have two first downs, one by penalty and one legitimate first down. They're just not doing anything offensively.
Sydney, at the end of that last drive, had completed a very nice pass. Gordon to Harris over the middle, and it was going to be a 20-yard gain, and he was drilled at the end of the play and fumbled it. And here on first and 10 for the Yellow Jackets, the offensive ball carrier Bowser drilled on a delayed handoff way back behind the line of scrimmage. He was suffocated at the 18 or 19-yard line.
Yeah, he didn't have a prayer.
Second and 18 for Sydney. 7.5 to go in the second quarter. Drop by Gordon to the 11. Looks in the flat. On the ground, the receiver, one knee. It is Gordon firing to Stockton, who gets his hands under it at the 23. He cupped the ball for a catch. And it's third and 14 now for Sydney over its own 20. Three receivers flanked to the right for Andre Gordon. Two to the left. Five wideouts will run routes on this third and 14 play call. Deep drop of Gordon, stutter step in the pocket, looks middle of the field, receiver short of the first down marker at the 25, gets his hand on it. He is belted immediately down when Caleb Harris, ball came flying loose, incompletion, and Sydney will have to punt.
That was Jacob Newton, and my goodness, that was a hit.
Nick Rainey will punt from back in his own 10. LaSalle promises to get very good field position.
Well, the last thing the Yellow Jackets need is into the second quarter, and Hallie Truesdale has not been on the field yet. That tells you they have not put the ball in the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Here's the punt by Rainey, and it's his best kick of the night. He's got a little bit of a win from the northeast at his back. He sails it down to the 35. LaSalle on the return. Great coverage by Sydney. Tackle made at the 33-yard line.
That was Stockton, and I'll tell you what, he held on because if he would have lost him there, that was going to be about a 15 or 20-yard punt return. He just would not let go of the jersey.
Six-foot senior Kelton Stockton with a heck of a play. Sydney sped downfield immediately and swamped the return man. Great kick by Rainey. That's how you get it done. Both ends on that play, Chuck. Special teams was tops. Fine punt by Rainey and superb coverage. So the Lancers are inside the 35, 33-yard line, first and 10. 6:35 to go here in the second quarter, 20-0 in favor of LaSalle. Handoff on the play to Porter. Porter reads the line of scrimmage. An opening develops outside tackle. He finds it. He runs real estate near side, laterally across the field, 40, 45. Sydney chases him out of bounds up around the 50. Well, Porter ran a good 25 or 30 yards horizontally, east-west, gain the first down, push the ball out to the 48.
That looked like it was going to be about a 4 or 5 yard loss.
Yeah, it did. This Porter has got shifty legs. Boy, he taps those feet and away he goes. And you can't figure out which direction he's leaning. Here's Merritt rolling out to the right. Oh, a nice throw on the run. Hits his receiver, Wiley, down at the 41.
What a move.
Pass goes for 11 yards. Wiley catches, breaks a tackle, turns up field. 35 of Sidney stays on his feet. He's nailed from behind at the 34 of the Yellow Jackets. The big 6'7 wideout, Josh Wiley, on the reception. Good throw by Merritt. That was maybe his best pitch of the night, Chuck.
Yeah, that was on a line.
Just over six to play here in the second quarter. LaSalle 20, Sidney nothing. Lancer slot left. Here's Merritt. Toss sweep to Porter around left end. He's got an avenue, cuts it back. Look at him romp down inside the 25. 20, upended from behind right there. Another first down. The play goes for 14 more. Cameron Porter. Good speed, very shifty. Just a sophomore running back for the Lancers.
It is 14 first downs now for the Lancers.
LaSalle racking up the first. The chains are moved once again. Still 5:46 to go in the second quarter. LaSalle has the ball inside the Sidney 20. Here is Merritt. Started his cadence, then looked at his sideline. Sidney Yellow Jackets adjust defensively, and then LaSalle belatedly gets a timeout call. 5.5 to go, second quarter. LaSalle 20, Sidney nothing on scoresbroadcast.com.
Brookins in Fort Loramie is the place to be for enjoying some roasted chicken dinners, plus many specialty sandwiches, pizza, and the pork chop special on Saturday nights. Your food is cooked fresh. You see, Dale and Joyce Barhorst have owned and operated Brookins for 11 years, putting their heart and their soul into creating a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. Brookins is also the ideal space to reserve for family gatherings, birthdays, anniversaries, wedding rehearsals, and more. The banquet room seats up to 60, and the spacious second floor is open, too. With over a century of rich history and plenty of roasted chicken and Brookins burgers to go around, there's just no place like Brookins in Fort Loramie at 10 Elm Street and on the web at brookins-usa.com. That's Brookins, brookins-usa.com.
This is Jack with Chuck. Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee here at Holland Field at Miamisburg. LaSalle with a first and 10 at the 20-yard line of Sidney. Here's a rollout to the right. Sidney covering that play very nicely. And it was Campbell who took the pitch from Merritt. He was subdued right on the line of scrimmage. No gain. Second down and 10 for the Lancers. 5:12 left to go here in the second quarter. Lancers up 20 to zip. And big Josh Wiley comes flanked to the left. He's to the wide side of the field. Looks like single coverage. Merritt rolling that way, looking for Wiley down inside the 10. Wiley breaks right. Ball is thrown left, out of bounds, incomplete. That was Wiley all the way, but just miscommunication with
right.
The QB.
Yep.
Clock.
He was open.
Clock stopped at 4:56 to go here in the first half. Third and 10. If LaSalle doesn't get a first down here, you can bet we'll see Jake Seibert, the expert field goal kicker, who just missed a 51-yarder earlier in this game. Two receivers wide left for Merritt, back alongside of the right. Merritt rolling left, looking end zone, finding a receiver wide open, 5 yards deep in the end zone, and it's hauled in, caught by Craig Wills. He slipped right through two defenders. I said Wills, it was Jake Roberts on the catch for LaSalle. Mistake in the secondary by Sidney, who let Roberts split two defensive backs, and there was still 7 or 8 yards of end zone remaining, and Merritt rolled out to the left, had plenty of time, and found him. And this LaSalle pass run game is in high gear. It is a very good offense, which played a strong schedule all season long. Only averaged about 20 points a game, far less than Sidney. But it has weapons all over the field on the offensive side. Extra point try by Seibert is belted right through the uprights, and LaSalle leads it 27-0 over Sydney. 4:50 to go in the second quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
The rules of dinner are changing at Frisch's Big Boy. New rule number one, you don't have to spend a lot to get a lot, because right now you can get five delicious dinners, each just $7.99. Country fried steak or chicken, roast beef, turkey or meatloaf, plus green beans and mashed potatoes with gravy. So you'll have no problem with an old dinner rule. Finish what's on your plate. Dinner rules at Frisch's Big Boy.
4 minutes, 50 seconds to go, second quarter. Cincinnati LaSalle has scored again to lead Sydney by a 27-0 count. Yellow Jackets have got to put points on the board on this drive and enter halftime with something positive to talk about in the locker room.
Well, they need to score, because it's getting close to where we're going to see a running clock in the second half, and that is not what you want to see in a playoff game.
30-point spread plus 30 points or more, third quarter means the clock doesn't stop except during timeouts, basically. Here's the kickoff return by Sydney back up to the 30-yard line. Christian Townsend snarfed up that football and high-stepped his way to the 30 from the 21, and the Yellow Jackets have it first and 10. 4:46 left in the second quarter. LaSalle now owns a 27-0 advantage. Yellow Jackets have had a challenging time registering first down so far in this game. What, Chuck, less than five?
They got two.
Two total?
One by penalty.
Two to the right, one receiver far left. Andre Gordon takes the snap at his 25, gives to Bowser. Bowser dodges a tackler at the point of attack and then sidesteps his way over the 30 to the 31. Down he goes. Second down, 8 for Sydney.
Well, he's had one run of 21 yards, and other than that, the longest runs are 5 yards. They had 2 5-yard runs in the game. They got no offense going here at all right this second.
Three receivers flanked to the right for Gordon. He's got Bowser alongside in the offensive backfield. Gordon rolling out to the right, looking for Rontez Roberts, and he throws and fires to Caleb Harris, a bullet, yes. Harris at the 41 catches and rolls forward to the 42. Play good enough for first down yardage and went for an even 10. First and 10 Jackets, 41-yard line of Sydney. Good throw by Gordon, who almost hung onto the ball a stride or two too long on that play. But Harris ad-libbed in his route, and Gordon found him. Isaiah Bowser in first and 10, chugs right up the middle for 6 to the 46 or 47. Second down, a little more than 4 to go for a first down for Sydney. 3:46 to go here in the first half. LaSalle 27, Sydney nothing. Jackets now have Bowser flanked to the right in this offensive formation. In fact, three receivers are stacked. It's a screen behind the line of scrimmage, then a throw back to Gordon. Gordon dropped it, picked it up, and he's hammered at the 35-yard line. Play goes for a negative 6 or 7.
They threw that back to Devin Rogers. I'm not sure what he was planning on doing with the ball. I don't critique calls, but I don't understand that one.
That was not Gordon who caught the throw back?
That was Devin Rogers.
Wow. Well, that was a unique play. And
Gordon was running down the middle of the field.
He was probably going to be the target of a Rogers thrown ball. But the timing was off. The play was disrupted. LaSalle threw it for a loss. Deep drop by Gordon on 3rd and 16. He floats a long one for Caleb Harris. Near sideline, he's out there beyond the defender, off his fingertips at the 31.
That was thrown about a yard too far.
Yep, Caleb Harris had a shot at it. He needed a lunge with an electrifying bolt of energy on the end of it to reel in that football.
I think if he catches that, he scores.
Yeah, I think so, Chuck. Yeah, if he does manage to fingertip grab that one, he's off to the races down the near sideline. Yeah, he needed a lengthy lurch, perhaps hands 3 or 4 inches longer. But nonetheless, it went incomplete, a near miss by Sydney. Boy, that was close to going the distance. and the punt Mulroney is out of bounds beyond the midfield stripe. LaSalle with fine field position will start at the Lancers 47 with 2:42 to go in the second quarter.
It's imperative for the Jackets to not give up any more points here in the half.
Boy, that last pass play, Chuck, was within inches of being completed. Wow.
Harris, yeah, I don't think they would have caught him. He was about 5 or 6 yards behind everybody.
Looked like he might have short-armed it just a hair.
Teeny bit.
Yeah. Well-thrown ball by Gordon. LaSalle was beaten on the play. Sydney could not convert. First and 10 Lancers from their own 47. Under 3 minutes to play here in the second quarter. And Sydney trails 27-0. In motion across the formation is Branham for LaSalle. Barrett rolling right, looking, and he's going to tuck and run. There he goes. Lickety-split, far side of the field, beyond the numbers. He bolts to the Sydney 45. And he's tackled out of bounds right there. Clock stops, 2:34 left to go in the second quarter. Play good enough for 8. Second down and 2 for LaSalle from the Sydney 45. 27-0 in favor of LaSalle. Boy, another score here against Sydney would no doubt cause the Yellow Jackets to really hang their heads headed into the locker room at the halftime break. Merritt on second and short just keeps it, and he slides around right end. He skirts the periphery of the Sydney defense, and he's knocked out of bounds at the 42. Short gain, good enough, though, for a first down. 2:29 left here in the second quarter. Two receivers far right. Back staggered in the offensive backfield along with the quarterback Merritt. Where's Wiley lined up here, Chuck? Is he tight on the left side?
Yep, he's right next to us here.
Here's the snap, back ball given to Campbell. Campbell's got an avenue between right guard and tackle. And he rumbles right through it down inside the 35. He is tripped up from behind at the Sydney 33. Play goes for 9. Second down and 1 for LaSalle. We near the 2-minute mark, late second quarter. Cagle in there on another tackle for Sydney. He's had a handful of tackles on the Yellow Jackets defense here tonight. Two receivers right. Here's Campbell again, fakes right, goes left, stutter step. He chugs over the line of scrimmage and churns for yardage down to the 28, maybe the 27. Move the chains again. How many first downs for LaSalle, Chuck?
16.
I was going to say we're probably approaching 20. Lancers to the line of scrimmage, a minute 45 to go in the second quarter. 27-0. Receiver flanked wide left is Jake Roberts for LaSalle. Wiley lined up on the right side. Here's Merritt. Toss sweep to the left. It goes to Campbell. Campbell swarmed, caught in the backfield, puts his head down, tries to trudge ahead. Sydney gang tackles him at the 26. Down he goes. Play goes for maybe a yard, and that is it. Devin Rogers in there on the hit for Sydney, along with Tyler Shiflett, and a timeout is called. LaSalle player shaken up. Second and 9, Lancers, line of scrimmage, the Sydney 26, 27-0 LaSalle. A minute 13 left until halftime on scoresbroadcast.com.
Holloway Sportswear in Sydney features the full game plan of athletic apparel, bags, fan gear, warm-ups, outerwear, and much more. Deep color offerings, unbeatable quality, and the latest trends in high-performance fabrics. Holloway gets fans, coaches, and athletes to the bonus line with extras that help fashion their games. Check your local sporting goods store and rule the sideline with Holloway Sportswear. Download catalogs and view product videos at HollowayUSA.com.
Big series of plays coming up in the last moment of the second period. Sydney needs a stop in hopes of keeping LaSalle off the scoreboard. A made field goal would make it a 30-0 game at the halftime break. Here's Merritt, offensive backfield, fakes to the left and rolls out to the right. Little swing pass in the flat, caught on the play by Campbell at the 22. He puts his head down and charges down to about the 17 or 18-yard line, very close to first down yardage. Devin Rogers rolled the numbers on the far side of the field to upset the receiver. Third and one, LaSalle. Here's a toss sweep. Good running play. Lancers around right in, down to the 15, 10-yard line, out of bounds.
That was Kevin Howard, his first attempt.
Good dash by the 5'6 junior, Kevin Howard, and he sets up LaSalle with a goal to go right at the Sidney 10 with 42 seconds to go in period number two. Couple receivers flanked 12 yards to the left for the Lancers. Play clock is down to 13, 12. Scoreboard clock has not started yet. Running play right up the middle, and at the point of attack, Sidney makes the hit. It is Howard who is smacked down at the 9.5. He picked up a foot or two, and that's it. Scoreboard clock running, 28-27. Lancer's timeout situation, Chuck, what is it?
Two left. Uh-huh. I'm surprised they didn't call one there.
Right, very shocked. 15 seconds to go. Snap back to Merritt. Toss, sweep, Campbell. No, Merritt kept it. Throws, goal line, near the pylon, wide of the mark, incomplete. Clock stops, 11 seconds remaining. It was Jake Seibert who was sprawling on the ground. He couldn't get his hands cupped under it to make the catch, though. Third and goal, LaSalle, just inside the Sidney 10. The Lancers have two timeouts in their hip pocket. Chuck, very surprised am I, too, that LaSalle did not use one before either one of those last couple plays.
Right.
Here's Merritt, toss sweep to the right to Campbell. No, Merritt kept it again. Throwing, pylon near side. Same play, Seibert on the catch in the end zone. He caught it on the dead run a yard deep. The quarterback, Merritt, was rolling left parallel with Seibert, who was flashing down inside the five, and then he was running right along the goal line, and Merritt was in the offensive backfield running along the 15, and that was a design play. The hot receiver was Seibert. Merritt made it work on the second one. It didn't work on the previous play, but in that one, it was hauled in with 6 seconds to go in the second quarter. Seibert now to boot the PAT, and that one is out of Holland Stadium. It's good. 6 seconds to go in the half. LaSalle 34, Sidney nothing on scoresbroadcast.com.
Get connected to your VA benefits. Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veterans Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission. We're vets serving vets.
This is ScoresBroadcast.com, Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system. I'm Jack with Chuck, Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee, here at Holland Field at Miamisburg. It is a gorgeous complex. Seats about 6,200, 6,300. It's probably 80% full here tonight. Sidney brought a huge throng of fans to the near side. Seats on the west side of the stadium, about 4,000 or so, a couple thousand plus on the far side. And Sidney brought a huge contingent. Not much to cheer about for the Yellow Jacket fans so far, though. In fact, some of the spectators down below on the Sidney side heading to the concession as Sidney runs the kickoff out of bounds, far side of the field. A marker flew.
Late hit.
Late hit against LaSalle. So Sidney will get an offensive play, officially ending the second quarter. Scoreboard clock reads zero, but Sidney should have one offensive untimed down.
Exactly. Yep. Can't end on that penalty.
Right. Yeah, all of the seats here at Holland Field have backs to them. And as we noted in the pregame, the bleachers here were purchased from the Daytona Speedway. They were at a NASCAR facility previously, the bleachers were, and before they were tossed and done away with, Miamisburg purchased them, and it's a nice feature. Well, it is not an untimed down. In fact, the scoreboard clock reads zero, and the half has officially closed out. LaSalle 34, Sydney nothing here at our halftime intermission. LaSalle beating Cincinnati Harrison last week 46-10, while Sydney was defeating Dayton Belmont 46-33. But tonight, all LaSalle, the number one seed Lancers, who are after a four-peat, having won state titles the three previous years, belting Sydney to the tune of 34-0. Our halftime report coming up in just a moment. We'll have stats brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine, and then a conversation with Todd Taylor, an executive for the Indiana Pacers and a 1990 Sydney graduate who played on the first Sydney playoff team in 1989. We'll return shortly from here at Miamisburg. Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee, Sydney down 34-0 at the break on scoresbroadcast.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center Market in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCal supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCal Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
What makes the taste of Frisch's onion rings so colossal? Well, we start with the biggest, best onions. Farm-grown colossal onions. We slice them to just the right thickness, then hand-bread them fresh, never frozen, and fry them to a delicious golden brown. It's the only way to make sure you get that signature snap in every bite. At Frisch's Big Boy, we wouldn't do it any other way.
Our halftime report is brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney. LaSalle Lancers 34, Sydney Yellow Jackets nothing here at the break. LaSalle has moved the ball up and down the field. Sydney has been limited in the first down department by this very good LaSalle defensive team, which, Chuck, is every bit as good on the offensive side.
Yeah, this is a well-balanced, outstanding football team. I mean, 34-0 at halftime, and the stats reflect that. Sydney ran the ball 15 times for 28 yards. That is less than 2 yards a carry.
And on one of those plays, Isaiah Bowser went for about 10, so pull that one out.
He ran 21 on one.
Oh, he did 21.
So you take that 21 away, and they got 14 rushes, 7 yards. 4 of 10 throwing it for 46 yards, 74 yards. That is unheard of for Sydney. That tells you how good that defense is.
Yep.
3 first downs, turned the ball over one time. LaSalle ran the ball 28 times for 181 yards, 13 of 20, 198 yards and 4 touchdowns, 379 total yards, 17 first downs, 1 turnover in the first half. This has been a nightmare for the Yellow Jackets.
Well, we said in our pregame something had to give. LaSalle was allowing just a little over 2 yards per rush defensively. Isaiah Bowser was gaining 8 yards per gain or per play on the ground. And so far, LaSalle's defense has throttled Sydney's run game.
No doubt.
And when you fall behind by 5 touchdowns, Chuck, you've got to step back and throw the ball in virtually about every single play. And LaSalle's defense just feeds off that for sure. Other regional semifinal game in Division II features Cincinnati Anderson and Cincinnati Winton Woods. The two winners will play next Friday night in a regional final.
I got a couple of Division 7 scores here at the half. Crestview leads Minster 13-6. Delphus leads Layman 14-0 at the half.
So those are Division 7 scores. We'll pass along other scores from the region when we get them. Here at Holland Field in Miamisburg, Sydney down by a 34-0 count. Chuck, I thought Sydney had a real good chance there after giving up two touchdowns to LaSalle. Yellow Jackets began to get their feet under them
and
started to adjust to LaSalle's offense and kept the Lancers off the board for 8 or 10 minutes. But, boy, that pass play that Gordon completed to Harris and Caleb fumbled, you can't fault Caleb. LaSalle hit him hard, stood him up, stripped him.
And they tried to strip on the kick on the ensuing kickoff, too.
Yep.
This is a well coached football team, it's obvious, in all the phases.
But Sydney had a chance, had Caleb Harris managed to hang on to that football after he caught it. That was a big takeaway by LaSalle at that point. Our halftime report brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney. The Yellow Jackets trail LaSalle 34-0 here at the half on scoresbroadcast.com.
Here's another Wilson Health Sports Medicine success story. Sydney High School guard Ashley Egan recovered to top form after tearing her ACL in January 2014.
It was Ashley's birthday, in fact, and the Sydney girls were playing Houston. And Ashley injured her knee cutting to the basket. She just crumbled to the floor.
But Ashley's mother, Kathy, said Wilson Health athletic trainer Beth Danklifson was courtside and came to the rescue.
She was so helpful, so caring, and encouraging. Wilson Health Sports Medicine gave us peace of mind. We knew we were in good hands.
In 2 weeks, Dr. Matthew Heckler, Wilson Health Sports Medicine orthopedic surgeon, performed successful surgery.
Therapy began several days later, and Ashley enjoyed both soccer and basketball her junior and senior years.
And Ashley's Yellow Jackets hoops team won 24 straight games. For information about Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, go to wilsonhealth.org and click on services.
We are so thankful for Wilson Health Sports Medicine.
Keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
This is Jack Kramer, with Chuck McBee here at Holland Field at Miamisburg. Sydney Marching Band performing and doing a very nice job here at intermission. Unfortunately, the Yellow Jackets trail by a 34-0 count to LaSalle here at the break. Our halftime guest is Todd Taylor, a 1990 graduate of Sydney and a member of that 1989 Yellow Jackets football team, which advanced to the playoffs and, in fact, made it all the way to the state semifinals. Sydney, under head coach Kevin Fell, was 9-4 that year. Todd Taylor was a defensive back, played receiver on offense. He held for place kickers and returned punts. He was a Mr. Do-It-Everything. He went on to Ohio State and has been with several professional organizations and is now the Senior Vice President, Chief Sales and Marketing Officer for the Indiana Pacers. So privileged to spend time with him over in Indianapolis several weeks ago. Todd has very fond memories of Sydney and Sydney High School in his heart, and he talked about them in the conversation we had at the Pacers organization in Indianapolis.
Looking back on it, Sydney was a great place to grow up, I think. Now that we've had an opportunity with my family to move to several different larger cities, I think there's something very special about a tight-knit community. So growing up in Sydney is certainly part of my background and something that I continue to draw from today. I went to school at Ohio State. I worked full-time through college, and as I was trying to decide what to do with my life after college, I had a good friend of mine, Mark Wilson, actually still works at the company, but he let me know about a job at Safeway Packaging. At the time, it was a small sheet plant in Minster, Ohio. It's since grown to be a very, very big player in the corrugated packaging industry. But when Mark asked me if I was interested in being a salesperson for a box company, I had no idea what that really meant. So jumped in with a little bit of a leap of faith and learned that it's not cardboard boxes, it's corrugated packaging. So that was my first education.
Marvelous career in the world of professional sports. Before we get into that, talk about what's important today for young people to know and understand about their future. When do they need to start making those decisions? What must they consider? And what are the key ingredients to having a successful life?
Well, you know, I think probably I could tell you a story about how I got my first job in professional sports that would illustrate a lot of this. But, you know, at its core, we hire a lot of people that are right out of college, a lot of young folks entering the workforce. So the thing that we always tell them is you got to find a way to stand out and be a little bit different. I think education is extremely important. What it really does is prepares you for sort of the grind and the twists and turns that life will bring. So education is something I always recommend, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to effort. You know, you have to really put in the time. There are no shortcuts. I know we live in a society where it's easy to get information and access information. There's a lot of quickness now and a lack of patience, but at the end of the day, you have to be prepared for those opportunities when they come along. As I said, I worked at Safeway Packaging, and you get tons of advice from people when you're picking a career, and people told me that I should go into sales because I had a good personality for it. You could make a lot of money. You could really set your own hours. What I quickly learned is sales is hard. You know, I went into it, and again, I had good coaching, a friend of mine, Mark, that I mentioned, and what I really learned was it wasn't hard to get appointments, but it was really hard to convince people to give you their hard-earned money for your product.
There you go.
And, you know, that took really a year before I actually started to get good at sales, and while I started to improve in that as a career field, I wasn't necessarily excited about it. So I read this this great story in the Columbus Dispatch about this NHL team that was going to be coming to town, and they were looking for employees. The article actually went on to say that they were getting 1,400 resumes per week for jobs that didn't exist. So, you know, this goes back to the advice that I give our group is, you know, I thought that would be a really cool opportunity, but I didn't go to school for sports. I didn't play hockey growing up. Obviously, growing up in Sydney, Ohio, you know, Roadside Park with broomball was about as close as you got to hockey.
Right, right.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you want something, you got to figure out a way to go get it. So yeah. I did some research. I found out that the team was going to be owned by a man named John McConnell. He started Worthington Steel out of the basement of his house with collateral from the 64 Oldsmobile, grew it into a Fortune 500 company, and there was going to be a executive of his that was going to run it from a business standpoint. His name was John Christie. So I went out and did some research and decided to do a self-marketing campaign. I went out and bought this thing called Nerf Battling Goalies. You'd sit across from each other. You'd shoot hockey pucks into each other's net. And I decided, not knowing any better, that I should send toys to these titans of business. So I went out and got this toy. I worked at a corrugated packaging company so I could design custom packaging. I sent one to John Christie, and I sent one to John McConnell in there. I just put Taylor, one of three, a little card that said Taylor, one of three, so they'd expect a couple more. And in there, I just said my goal is to join their team. At the bottom of John Christie's, I said, P.S., if you're looking for a game, call John McConnell. On Mr. McConnell's, I said, if you're looking for a game, call John Christie. So these CEOs, not used to getting toys in the mail, called each other. The next week, I sent a full-size hockey stick. And then finally, the third week, I sent a hockey puck with a quote from Wayne Gretzky. When Gretzky's asked why he's such a great scorer, he would always say, I skate to where the puck's going to be. And I just said that I wanted to be in Columbus when the puck dropped in October. So I had the opportunity to come in and meet with Mr. Christie, and he promptly told me that they were not hiring, and he promised to get me an interview with the President GM when the President GM was hired, and he was true to his word, and I became the first ticket salesperson hired for the Blue Jackets.
Wow. Columbus Blue Jackets is how your career in professional sports opened up.
Absolutely. And it was. You know, I grew up playing football and baseball, so I was more of a traditional sports. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting, having gone to school at Ohio State and knowing that that's such a big football community, an opportunity to start a brand new franchise. I started when the arena began to be built, so I got to see an entire franchise from the ground up, including the building they played in. The experience was invaluable. But again, I go back to the advice for people looking to go out and do something.
Sure.
Had I not gone to the effort of putting together a self-marketing campaign and did some things that were outside the norm, I wouldn't have been recognized from those 1,400 people.
Right.
It doesn't make me any smarter necessarily than anybody else. I'm sure there were people that were much more qualified, but I was able to find a way to distinguish myself from the rest of people that were interested. So it's a competitive world out there. You got to find a way to stand out, and you got to use your own talents to make that happen.
Yeah, make yourself unique. You stood out in Sydney a couple years ago, inducted into the Hall of Honor. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You were an athlete at Sydney High School, outstanding academic institution, but athletics always very strong. You were on the 89 football team, the only Sydney High School football team to make the playoffs. Recollect that season. It was a marvelous one. 7-3 regular campaign, won two straight playoff games, earned a berth in the state semifinals.
It was amazing. And, you know, certainly with the team this year, there's a lot of excitement. So I hope that they come out and they make 89 sort of forgotten. It would be really, really great. I know that sounds bad that we would want to be forgotten, but nonetheless, I think it's about time, and this is certainly a wonderful team. I think, you know, when I look back on it, one of the most fond memories that I have is just what I mentioned, you know, growing up in a smaller town, it really pulls the entire community together. So I think that when you go through it, you don't realize it as much at the time, but when you have a chance to look back and reflect, it is really special for an entire community. You know, the parades that go along with it and the signs that are in the windows and people talking about it. So I hope that these players really enjoy that opportunity because they are doing something great for the community.
Mm-hmm. Todd Taylor, our guest here at the half of Sydney High School football. Todd, a graduate of Sydney High School, has enjoyed a terrific career in professional sports. As we've alluded, he was a member of that 1989 Sydney High School football team, which advanced to the playoffs and upset Cincinnati Harrison in the first round in overtime by a point.
That was really amazing. You know, I think we worked really hard to get into the playoffs after that 7-3 campaign that you mentioned. We got in there, and then all of a sudden it was like we had never played before. I know for me personally, it was one of my best worst games. I had a few catches and a good amount of yards receiving, but I also muffed two punts. I also had a long catch and run that I ended up fumbling inside the five right into Dewan Ward's hands, and then he fumbled it too. So it was one of those really crazy things. But I think the hallmark of that 89 team was that there wasn't a dominant star player. I think it was one of those things, when you look back on team, it was truly a team. I think that if you go back and look at each one of those 10 regular season games and the three playoff games, you'll find a star performer where you didn't expect to find one in almost every single case.
Yeah. I'm going to tax your memory. Starting lineup for the club that season, what names come to the forefront of your mind?
Well, you know, it's going to be impossible, so I apologize in advance if I miss anybody. But, you know, certainly it's easy to remember the quarterback. Ironically, I ended up being a roommate of his in college, so Mike Gallimore. You know, we had a great running back, David Kayser, really, really good, talented Thomas Foster. You know, he ran the counter, so he was extremely quick. Dewan Ward was our tight end. The lineman, I'm probably not going to get the exact positions right, but I think we substitute a lot of guys in there. So, you know, Wiseman and Kelly and Dan Broderick and Scott Weaver, Sean Lasley, you know, see, Grant Mullen and Matt Parker, Jason Kennedy, those guys were there. I was the wide receiver, so we were pretty good on offense. Defense, I think that's where we probably set the tone, you know, and we had some really talented seniors there with Mark Elliott and Corby Lawson. They were sort of the heart and soul, Chad Spillers, and then, you know, Clayton Westerbeck, who was a year younger than us, you know. Robin Southern, one of the fastest guys I've ever seen. And then, you know, we had two freshmen that actually ended up playing a lot for us at the end of the year, and Tyrone McGee and Marlon Burns. In fact, Marlon made probably the play of the game against Harrison. He intercepted a pass when they were going in to score, and that would have really made it almost impossible for us to come back. So, again, I apologize if I missed anybody there. It was a great team, and there were a lot of good guys on there that contributed.
Hey, you wore many hats on that team. You went both ways, offense and defense.
I did until, you know, our freshmen were able to step in there, and they played a lot. So toward the end of the year, we specialized a little bit more, and I did play offense and defense, and that was really, really a fun experience for me. So it was a really good time.
Current Sydney team here in 2017 rolling right along with a very good opportunity to make the postseason. What words of advice would you give the current Sydney Yellow Jackets about the 2017 campaign and this promising outlook?
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, don't change. Go into it. I know for us it was a lot of excitement. I remember it was the first time we'd ever played on turf. That's probably not the case for this current Sydney team. But,
right.
You know, I think we went to Welcome Stadium, I believe it was. And, you know, it was the first time we'd ever run on flat surface like that. So we were really kind of caught up in the moment of being in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And really, like anything in life, you know, the goal that you go get is not the end of it. It's really just the beginning. So making the playoffs is really just the start of the second season. So I think they need to stay together as a team. They need to not get caught too much up in the moment from it being like the second team to ever make the playoffs or undefeated team or whatever they ultimately end up being. They just need to stay within themselves, play as a team, and continue what brought them here.
You continue to observe sports at all levels, football included. NFL, college, high school. How's the game changed since you played in the 80s?
Well, it's really funny because when I went back for the we had a football reunion, and Coach Fell was there, my head coach when I was in high school, and he said, I grew up in the wrong era. I think I had 40 catches for just under 1,000 yards as a senior. He said he had three guys that each have 50 catches already. So so they obviously throw the ball a little bit more. You know, I think I see it in every area, not just in the sports, but I think that kids today are so much more advanced because they've had so much more opportunity. You know, I think the readily accessible information related to whether that's education or whether it's athletics, they can find really great training and insight. And I think that the difference I see now, I have a 16-year-old son that plays baseball, is the access to coaching and just the development that these players have. And I know that there's a big talk about specialization or not specializing. A lot of kids specialize, and you can really see it because they have really honed their craft. And I think that what I see now is just the size and the strength and the speed of high school teams now almost remind me of what it was like for college teams when I was in high school.
Words of Todd Taylor, 1990, Sydney High School graduate, member of that 89 Sydney team, which advanced all the way to the playoffs that year. Fine campaign, 7-3 regular season, defeated Harrison and then St. Mary's in the playoffs, avenging an early season loss to St. Mary's before losing to Fostoria 17-14. Fostoria had a real good running back named Macbeth, and Sydney played Fostoria right to the wire in the state semis that year, nearly beat them. But Todd Taylor was a cog on that team. Todd's parents, by the way, Mike and Donna, live in Sydney. A sister, Jennifer, is in Sydney as well. Todd's wife is named Jennifer. She's a Lehman grad. They have two sons and a daughter, 16-year-old son Keenan, 10-year-old son Ian, and a 14-year-old daughter Bryn. A real joy to talk with Todd Taylor, who is an executive now for the Indiana Pacers, which has its Bankers Life Arena on one side of the street, administrative offices and the practice facility on the other side of the street, and you go beneath the street through a tunnel to go back and forth.
That's the way it should be. Is Larry Legend, is he still part of the Pacers?
Not sure about that.
I can't remember. I know he was running the organization, yeah, but I can't remember if he's resigned or not.
A lot of fun visiting Indianapolis and talking with Todd Taylor, the 1990 Sydney High School graduate, outstanding student. He was involved in a number of extracurricular activities. And as he noted during that interview, his first significant job after graduation from Sydney and Ohio State was up in Minster, and then he advanced on to a job with the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I love that story. That was very innovative.
And the rest, as they say, is history. He's had a remarkable career in professional sports.
I was impressed that he could name off all those players that were on his team down the line.
I asked him numbers.
He couldn't give you numbers. Maybe I'm not as impressed now.
Well, the numbers are not in Sydney's favor here tonight at Holland Field in Miamisburg. 34-0 LaSalle. We're 2 minutes away from the start of the third quarter. Both teams have returned to the field, and we'll have the second half kickoff in just a moment. Gives us a chance to remind our listeners that we are on the web online here on scoresbroadcast.com tonight. Thanks to American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance on the north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, the U.S. Bank with 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News with the best sports page coverage around. And so many thanks to Bryant Billing, who is succeeding Ken Barhorst, and congrats to Ken, 44 years of high-quality professional journalism in the world of sports at the Sydney Daily News for Ken Barhorst. Outstanding career for Ken. Second to none. these additional underwriting sponsors on the web online with us here tonight on scoresbroadcast.com. Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville, generation after generation of great service. Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place quite like it. Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, Custom Foam, a world-class supplier. Clancy's in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Goffney Furniture in Sydney. Go to the website for even more savings at Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Frisch's in Sydney. What's your favorite thing? The In-Between, just south of Bodkins, where the food is not in-between, it's out of this world. John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. He gives you his very best shot. Primary Eye Care Associates in Sydney, Troy, Fort Loramie, St. Paris, and Jackson Center. Healthy vision for a lifetime. Focus on primaryeyecare.org. The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission. Vets helping vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282 at facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO. That's facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO. Sydney Car Care, South 4th in Sydney, between the drive-in and the hospital. Fair price, fast service. Call 492-9495. That's Sydney Car Care, 492-9495. Thank you. These ANA sponsors, Adams Tech Solutions, on-time high-tech computer solutions, and customized promotional items like T-shirts, mugs, and pens, and Wells Brothers, Inc., which has grown to include 8 expanding divisions. In Rushi, the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum, shout-outs to both. The Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum, plus the Jewelry Barn in Rushi, will make your ideas come to life at the Jewelry Barn. Kickoff to start the second half by LaSalle. Returned by Sydney from inside the 40.
That's where
back to the 50.
That's where that penalty came from at the end of the half. Instead of taking it there, they had to kick off from the 25-yard line.
Right. That major infraction whistled against LaSalle to close out the first half was actually enforced to start the third quarter of this game.
And if you had a choice there, that was a very smart choice by the coaching staff of Sydney.
So Sydney has the ball 2 yards short of the 50. First and 10. We are 50 seconds already into the third quarter. Sydney trails 34-0. Here's Isaiah Bowser blasting over right tackle. He surges beyond the linebackers, hammering for 14 to the 39-yard line of LaSalle. Fantastic furniture at Goffney Furniture, priced just right. Take advantage of that big grand reopening at Goffney and the introduction of new inventory. Goffney Furniture, Route 47 west of I-75 in Sydney. And for your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service. Check out Goffney for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sydney. Sydney Yellow Jackets complete a short pass on second down and 13 yards to go. Roberts hauls it in downfield. A nice pickup of 6 or 7. Third and a half dozen for Sydney at the LaSalle 35. Handoff on the play to Bowser. He jukes left, then right. He tries to carve out some room. Can't do it. LaSalle stands him up right at the 35-yard line. It's going to be 4th and 5 for a first down with 2.5 minutes gone here in the third quarter. The continuous clock is now in play. The lead for LaSalle is 30 points plus. It's 34-0. Three receivers left and fourth down. Gordon looks middle of the field. It is intercepted right into the hands of one of the linebackers for the LaSalle Lancers. It was thrown right to the LB on the play, and it was hauled in by Luke Thiemann. Not sure why Gordon didn't see him. Andre may have been screened. Thiemann may have been hiding in behind another player. Rodtez Roberts was angling middle of the field. He was open, and Gordon's rifle-like pass was right into the hands of Thiemann. Takeaway number 2 in this game for LaSalle, and the Lancers have it 1st and 10 at their own 45 with 3 minutes gone here in the third quarter. That's the kind of thing the Lancers do game in, game out. The defense comes up with takeaways. In fact, on 10 occasions this year when the LaSalle defense has gotten the ball for its offense, the Lancers offense has gone right ahead and scored. Here's a toss sweep to the left, running play around left end, good enough for 7 or 8. Howard came into the ballgame late in the second quarter for LaSalle. Boy, the Lancers getting a bevy of backs in there. Campbell, Porter, and now this young man. And I tell you what, Chuck, I don't see much difference among all three.
No, I'm impressed with all three of them, that's for sure.
Second down and 2 for the Lancers from the Sydney 47. 8:30 left to go here in the third. 34-0 in favor of LaSalle. Merritt at quarterback. He is standing back at his own 48 to take the snap. He gives the ball straight ahead, and it's a good run down to the 41-yard line. Howard again. He bolted right through an opening between left guard and tackle. This offensive line for the Lancers has been outstanding throughout this game.
That is the common denominator in those three running backs, I think.
Yes. One offensive guard, John Brockerstam, easy for me to say, 6 feet, 6 inches tall. Markell Anderson, an offensive guard at 280. 6'6 at one guard, 280 at the other. Elijah Hyman, 6'2", 230 at a tackle. Line of scrimmage, the 41 of Sydney. First and 10, LaSalle. Snap back to Merritt. Hand off, same ball carrier again. It's Howard. And he slices outside left tackle. His knee touches down at the 36-yard line. So it's going to be second down and 6 for the Lancers as we near the 7:20 mark here in the third quarter of play. I'm not sure what Sydney has done here. Chuck, looks like the Yellow Jackets tossed something out on the field.
I think that was a tie. One of the players had a towel, and he threw it back.
It was a Lancers player's towel.
Yeah.
Okay. They dropped on the Sydney sideline. Second down, a half dozen to go for a first down. Howard gets the nod again. Outside left tackle, and he spilled at the 34-yard line as he wedged out a couple. Third and 2 or 3 to go for a first down for the Lancers. Yep, Sydney needs a stop. At least, Chuck, points here soon to get this continuous clock stopped. That's going to shorten the game real quick.
As cold as it is, might not be a bad idea.
Yep, chill factor down to, what, probably 14, 15 degrees?
It's got to be now. That wind has not slowed down any.
Two receivers wide right for LaSalle. Staggered backs alongside Merritt. Toss sweep to the left. It's Howard again. He gets the corner. Puts his head down, lowers the boom, met solidly at the 31 or 32. He picked up a few yards, minimal advance, and that leaves LaSalle fourth and about 2 feet to go for a first down. 5:50 remaining here in the third quarter. LaSalle Lancers well on their way to a regional semifinal victory over Sydney. The winner of this game will take on the Winton Woods Anderson Victor.
I watched a replay of that. Winton Woods, I think, Chillicothe?
Yes.
As they played. That was an offensive monster team, that Winton Woods team.
Yeah, Winton Woods beat LaSalle, believe it or not, 18-15 earlier in the season.
Yeah.
That's how good Winton Woods is. Here it is, 4th and 1, handoff left guard. LaSalle plunges for first down yardage. Howard again to the Sydney 28-yard line. Of course, Isaiah Bowser is a senior for the Yellow Jackets. He'll go on to Northwestern. And, Chuck, we will no longer be watching him on Friday night. It'll be Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon. They lose some talent for sure, but they got some kids coming back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll run down Sydney seniors, and they'll be missed. Head coach Adam Dunn just doesn't want to lose them. Some very good 12th graders graduating in the spring at Sydney, but a host of underclassmen do return. Bowser and Rogers graduate. Andre Gordon is back. as the second half progresses, we'll highlight all of the Sidney seniors. Running play on first and 10 for LaSalle from the Sidney 29, good for 3, down to the 26. Second down, a little more than 7 to go for a first down. And we have played 8 minutes already here in the third quarter. Continuous clock is in effect. Lancers using every second off the play clock, and well, they should. Continuing to nurse a 5-touchdown advantage. Snap back to Merritt. Toss sweep to the right. It's Howard. Starts to go to the corner. Can't. Reverses his field. Cuts back to the left. And he sat on at the 27. He lost a yard and a half.
They got Drew Neiman in the game now.
Yeah, Drew Neiman, backup quarterback to Griffin Merritt. And that's a smart move. You don't want to.
That's the last thing you want.
can't afford to injure your senior quarterback, your veteran signal caller, in a 34-0 game in the second round of the playoffs, well into the third quarter. Lancers have a 3rd and 9. We near the 3-minute mark here late in the third. Receiver split wide left for LaSalle. Kevin Swift into the game, a junior. Here's a fake pitch out to the left. Neiman throws, rolls right, hits a man on the run at the 21. Good run after the catch, down to the 17.
I like that play.
In off the bench, the ball was hauled in by Weber. And it's a productive play. First down for LaSalle, 16-yard line of Sidney.
That fake hitch just holds everybody up, and he just rolls it. Just, there's only one receiver in the play.
Doesn't it, though? You're frozen anyway because of the weather. And you're anchored to the ground when that fake pitch out is made by the LaSalle quarterback.
Oh, I would have faked an injury by now. I would have been in the locker room.
2:17 to go in the third. First and 10 Lancers, 15-yard line of Sidney. Inside handoff to Howard between center and right guard. He powers to about the 13. He stopped right there. Well, Chuck, we're going to wind up playing the third quarter with, two possessions, one by each team, a short one by Sidney.
That's what it's looking like.
And a lengthy one by LaSalle. Second down, 7, Lancers, line of scrimmage, the Sidney 13-yard line.
Well, the LaSalle fans are getting to see a little bit of the future.
Lancers to the line of scrimmage. Two receivers flanked to the left. This will no doubt be a running play by the QB, who gives it to Howard right up the gut, and he pounds to the 9-yard line, 3 or 4 short of a first down. It will be 3rd down coming up for the Lancers, who need at least 2, maybe 3 for first down yardage. And we've got 1 minute to go here in the third quarter of play. Lancers milking the clock before each and every snap from center. Here at our third quarter break, we'll tell you all about the Jewelry Barn, fine underwriting sponsor here on scoresbroadcast.com, which came on board last March during the high school basketball tournament. Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum in Rushi, along with the Jewelry Barn in Rushi, on the web, online with us here on scoresbroadcast.com. It's been Howard exclusively on the ground for LaSalle here in the second half. And on a 3rd and 3 or 4 play, he ran for 3, leaving the Lancers short of a first down by a yard. And that is going to end the third quarter. 34-0 LaSalle on scoresbroadcast.com.
American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field-level windows that they installed down on the playing surface, so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge. And that's been a really big sell in recruiting, and it looks nice and it's very well done.
UK's
Soccer Complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass. AAGinc.com.
This is Jack with Chuck. Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee here at Holland Field at Miamisburg. Fans across the way from LaSalle, fans down below from Sydney filing out slowly but surely. LaSalle has the football down at the Sydney 7. We start the fourth quarter. LaSalle leads by a score of 34-0. The Jewelry Barn in Rushi, established in 2011, has a qualified staff to provide you with great custom jewelry and jewelry repair. The Jewelry Barn also offers ear piercing, free jewelry cleaning and inspection for worn prongs, plus appraisals and watch link adjustment. We are certified by the Gemological Institute of America in diamond grading and in color stone grading, and also certified in jewelry repair. Come check us out at the Jewelry Barn. We'll make your ideas come to life. Tell Jolene Rinderly at the Jewelry Barn you heard about the Jewelry Barn in Rushi on scoresbroadcast.com. The Jewelry Barn, 2399 Rushi Versailles Road, phone 526-5557, 5557. The Jewelry Barn on the web at jewelrybarnusa.com. Again, that's 2399 Rushi Versailles Road in Rushi, phone 526-5557 for the Jewelry Barn. Well, Howard bolts in the last 7 yards for LaSalle. First play, fourth quarter, to lift the Lancers to a 40-0 lead. And we are 21 seconds into the fourth and final period. Lancers on to try the PAT. This is Seibert, who has been successful 4 times in 5 tries tonight. Missed a 51-yard field goal earlier. This PAT is hammered through right smack dab between the posts. LaSalle 41, Sydney nothing, early fourth quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
High quality furniture priced just right, always at Goffney Furniture, Route 47 west of I-75 in Sydney. And for your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. 5-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. That's Goffney Furniture, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com.
Barker Insurance, serving the Upper Miami Valley since 1972, has a reputation second to none for multiple years now. Barker is the number one most valued agency in the area. At 9040 North County Road 25A on the north edge of Sydney, Barker Insurance will customize an auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance program for you, representing firms like Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, and Ohio Mutual, to name several. You're covered with a plan tailored perfectly to your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that is for sure. Barker Insurance, 492-1857. That's 937-492-1857. LaSalle kickoff covered up by Sydney down around the 29-yard line. Chuck, any new score updates? Last we heard, Delphi St. John's was leading Layman Catholic 13-0 at the half.
Unfortunately, my phone died.
Oh, it did. And last score reported from Lima was Convoy Crestview 13, Minster 6 at the half. Isaiah Bowser barging over right guard for 4 on 1st and 10 as he trudges to the 32.5-yard line of Sydney. 2nd down and 6, 10.5 to go here in the fourth. Here's Gordon deep in the pocket. He uncorks a long one down the right side of the field. LaSalle defender in good position, outrunning the Sydney receiver. And fingertips on it by both young men. Rontez Roberts was there for Sidney. LaSalle Lancers read that route to perfection.
Well, Roberts turned into the defender that time because he knocked it away. I was going to be intercepted.
Mm-hmm. 2 minutes gone here in the fourth. Third and five for Sidney. Line of scrimmage, the Yellow Jackets 33-yard line. Two receivers left, two to the right. Man in motion, Stockton across the formation. Gordon rolls right. Oh, it is a nice delayed handoff on the play to Bowser in the offensive backfield. He ramrods through a nice hole, churns up over the 40, stays on his feet, chugging to the 45, knocked down at the 49-yard line. Superb run by Isaiah Bowser. That was blocked beautifully by Sidney. LaSalle substituting freely at the moment. And I don't recognize any more than maybe one or two numbers for LaSalle on the field defensively. Wholesale changes have been made. Eight or nine new players in for LaSalle. Here's Gordon. He winds up, heaves one way down inside the 20. Backpedaling, spectacular catch by Sidney at about the 14-yard line. And the receiver, Roberts, fell forward to the 12. Fantastic play by Roberts. And he was blanketed downfield by LaSalle. Rontez really didn't have rights to that football. He went up and took it, didn't he, Chuck?
Yeah, he's an outstanding basketball player. I think you saw some of that on that one.
Hand off, Bowser, right guard, stretches out to the 10. He picked up a couple. 8.5 to go in the fourth. 41-0 LaSalle.
Sidney wants to score.
Yep, Jack.
Just for pride. They want to see something on the board.
Yes. Trips to the left for Andre Gordon. Lone receiver to the right. Andre rolling left, looking end zone, stops at the 17. Now he reverses his field, runs way back to the right. Andre all over the place. 15, 10, 5, and he scoots out of bounds at about the 7. Well, Andre Gordon was nearly fenced in this side of the field, and he did very well to track all the way across the field laterally to get out of trouble. Then under duress on the far sideline, he hightailed it to the boundary. Third and 6 for Sidney. Snap to Gordon, late pitch on the play to Bowser, and Bowser's met solidly, breaks a tackle, stays on his feet, and journeys all the way to the 3. It's going to be 4th and 1 for Sidney at about the 3-yard line of LaSalle. 7:20 left in the fourth. Well, if the Jackets want to get into the end zone, Chuck, Sidney will need to make a 4th and 1 right here. Here is the snapback on the play to Bowser. Bowser backpedals, line of scrimmage. He's to the 2, the 1. His offensive line surges. Bowser is piled up right on the goal line. Didn't make it. Goal to go, Sidney. It is a first down, however. 6:50 left to go here in the fourth quarter. And barring a turnover here by Sidney, Yellow Jackets should be able to forge their way into the end zone and get points on the board. Two receivers left. Gordon will take the snap in the spread back at the 6-yard line. He looks right. It's a fade. Left corner of the end zone. And the receiver for Sidney is not covered. He is wide open. Yes, it's caught. Touchdown, Kelton Stockton on the reception. Sidney made it look easy. Mix-up by the Lancers. The second stringers couldn't find Stockton, who was available, and it was lofted to him by Gordon. And with 6:28 to go here in the fourth quarter, Sidney has its first touchdown of the night.
Well, Gordon recognized that right away because he made a call. There was nobody covering Stockton out here. All he did was take the snap and throw it to him.
Good awareness by Andre Gordon.
Yeah, he knew what was coming.
Very good play. Hallie Truesdale, who's 51 of 55 in the PAT department this year, misses. She hooked it to the left. It's not good. Under 6.5 to go in the fourth. LaSalle 41, Sidney 6 on scoresbroadcast.com.
But
Rookin's in Fort Loramie is the place to be for enjoying some roasted chicken dinners, plus many specialty sandwiches, pizza, and the pork chop special on Saturday nights. Your food is cooked fresh. You see, Dale and Joyce Barhorst have owned and operated Rookin's for 11 years, putting their heart and their soul into creating a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. Rookin's is also the ideal space to reserve for family gatherings, birthdays, anniversaries, wedding rehearsals, and more. The banquet room seats up to 60, and the spacious second floor is open, too. With over a century of rich history and plenty of roasted chicken and Rookin's burgers to go around, there's just no place like Rookin's in Fort Loramie at 10 Elm Street and on the web at Rookin's-USA.com. That's Rookin's, Rookin's-USA.com.
Yep, so many thanks to our grand underwriting sponsors who've been with us all year during the football season here on ScoresBroadcast.com. We salute our anchors, American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, North Edge of Sydney, South of Anna, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, Locale Equipment in Jackson Center, U.S. Bank, 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine, and the Sydney Daily News with the very best sports page coverage around. Our additional underwriting sponsors, we'll list them for you momentarily as the kickoff by Sydney sidewinds out of bounds at about the 28 or 29-yard line. Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville, generation after generation of great service. Rookin's in Fort Loramie, no good eating place like it. Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, a world-class supplier. Clancy's in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Goffney Furniture in Sydney. Go to the website for more savings, Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Frisch is in Sydney. What's your favorite thing? John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. He gives you his best shot. The in-between, just south of Botkins, where the food's not in-between. It's out of this world. Primary Eye Care Associates in Sydney, Troy, Fort Loramie, St. Paris, and Jackson Center. Healthy vision for a lifetime. Focus on primaryeyecare.org. The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282. On the web at facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO. Sydney Car Care, South 4th in Sydney, between the drive-in and the hospital, fair price, fast service. Sydney Car Care, call 492-9495. In Rushi, the Francis Schulte Company and Superior Aluminum, plus the Jewelry Barn in Rushi. We will make your ideas come to life at the Jewelry Barn. And in Anna, Adams Tech Solutions, on-time high-tech computer solutions, and customized promotional items like T-shirts, mugs, and pens, all available at Adams Tech Solutions. And Wells Brothers, Inc. in Anna, which has grown to include 8 expanding divisions. A check, we haven't missed much. A kickoff by Sydney. LaSalle possession at the Lancers 35, and then a pre-snap penalty. That's what's happened during our rundown of our very fine sponsors. They've been with us all fall long here for high school football on scoresbroadcast.com. Don't forget, we'll kick off the high school basketball season the first week of December with Shelby County League action on the girls' side, Anna Fort Loramie, and then the first Friday of December, Shelby County League boys open up. Anna Fort Loramie, the two.
That should be a good one.
Yeah, two favorites in the league. We'll go head to head. They open up each round. That's just the way the schedule was reconfigured. It rotates every 2 years. And
do they play at Loramie or Anna?
That's a good question. I'm trying to recall.
Okay.
I will tell you this for sure. They play one meeting at Anna and one meeting at Fort.
Thanks. That is why you're the play-by-play guy, and I'm just the peon over here.
But we'll open up high school basketball action the first week of December. Anna Fort Loramie girls on Tuesday, Anna Fort Loramie boys on that Friday. The Sydney Yellow Jackets, under head coach John Willoughby in his second year, don't start play that first weekend. They begin action during the week the following week. So we'll be focusing on the Sydney Yellow Jackets and, of course, action in the Shelby County League.
Sydney should be pretty good this year again.
Sure should. Minster girls will be strong. So will Versailles. We'll pick up contests provided by those two programs this season, too. 2.5 to go here in the fourth quarter. LaSalle has a 3rd-and-13 from their own 30-yard line. Chuck, Sydney will graduate a number of seniors. Of course, we know Isaiah Bowser is gone off to Northwestern. Devin Rogers, outstanding performer, offense and defense each way he went. Here's a run by LaSalle, broken play, offensive backfield, 7-8 yard gain, then a loose ball at the 43-yard line. Lancers recover. It's going to be 4th and a couple for LaSalle from the 43-yard line.
This is going to be what I think their first punt, because they did have that pooch kick, but yes, out of a punt formation, this is going to be their first punt of the night, I think.
Right. Devin Rogers, Isaiah Bowser, seniors, Nick Rainey, who's done a fine job punting, a quality backup quarterback for Sydney. He graduates. Kelton Stockton is a senior. Marshall Wilson graduates. Justin Beard, a senior. DeMont Rucker, Dylan Smith, a fine offensive and defensive lineman. Tony Strayman graduates. Zach Webb, who's played well here tonight, in on a number of tackles. Chris Lee graduates. Webb and Lee, both seniors. Anthony Brussel, lineman, solid player, senior. And Tabor Famdenagzi.
Well said.
And I am sorry, I may have mispronounced his name. But he, too, is a senior, as are Jess Cupp and Seth Miller. But Sydney does return a number of underclassmen who got a lot of playing time. Quite a few even started. Offense and defense and special teams. So Sydney will have a host of players returning, including quarterback Andre Gordon, of course. Ryan Cagle, just a sophomore, leading tackler on the team this year for Sydney, just a 10th grader. He's got 2 more years ahead of him. We're down to 30 seconds left as LaSalle takes a knee out at the 47-yard line. Good sportsmanship shown by the Lancers, who played 2nd and 3rd stringers a good portion of the second half. A knee is taken, time runs out, clock expires, and that's it. Sydney Yellow Jackets with a very successful season here in 2017, Chuck. A 10-2 overall record, losses to Troy in the GWAC North, then to LaSalle here in the regional semifinal. Nothing at all to be ashamed of. It was a tremendous campaign, terrific year, and Sydney's first berth in the postseason since 1989. Job well done to head coach Adam Dungis, his staff, and all the players.
Well, this LaSalle team has beaten an awful lot of teams in a row in the playoffs, and Sydney has just been added to the list, so it's nothing to be ashamed of for sure.
LaSalle will move on next Friday night at a site to be determined. We'll play the Anderson-Winton Woods winner. Winton Woods beat LaSalle during the regular season by a score of 18-15. LaSalle has now won 17 straight playoff games, looking for a four-peat here in 2017 after earning a three-peat last year. The Lancers have taken the state title in 2014, 15, and 16, did it those 3 years under 2 different head coaches, and are aiming to do it again here in 2017 under a 3rd different head coach. Adam Dungis and his staff, job very well done. Sydney's offense did outplay its defense most of the year, wouldn't you say, Chuck?
Oh, outstanding, yeah. Their offense for the year, they had 2 games that we saw where they struggled, and that was Troy with a real good run defense,
yep,
and then tonight with LaSalle. And that's the difference in the football game.
And I'm sure next year Sydney will put added focus on the defensive side of the ball, shore up the defense. Of course, there will be no Isaiah Bowser to lug it next year. Sydney's defense will certainly have to perform better next season, no question about that.
But Bowser was absolutely one of their top defenders, too,
yep,
so they're going to,
yep,
have to replace him on both sides,
yep,
of the ball.
Well said. Sydney should vie for a GWAC North Championship. It will be very competitive. Vandalia Butler returns a number of underclassmen. Pickwa should be strong, Troy mighty good. Sydney as well, as we've noted. It'll be a very closely contested GWAC North next year in high school football. Looking forward to it.
Right. I mean, moving Trotwood out, bringing Tip City in, made it equitable now, and, and it's much more fun to watch.
Well, we now turn our attention to Yellow Jackets basketball. We'll be following a number of games this season, boys and a few girls contests as well. The Sydney Yellow Jackets boys team under head coach John Willoughby in his first year last year performed quite well, and it was fun to follow Sydney basketball at home and on the road in 2015-16.
Well, one of my favorite high school games I've seen in a long time was their game with Trotwood last year at Sydney. I mean, that was a stunned Trotwood team that left that floor, and it was just the effort and the coaching of Sydney that won that basketball game for
them. I should have said last year, 2016-17, as we embark on the 2017-18 high school basketball season. Yeah, head coach John Willoughby employed a zone against Trotwood last year. His players responded, played it out perfectly, and Trotwood was really puzzled, and Sydney whipped the Rams at Sydney. That was a really fun game to cover, and we'll certainly be following some Sydney basketball this coming season. Again, boys and girls action the first week of December in the Shelby County League. Anna and Fort Loramie will go toe-to-toe, and follow the scoresbroadcast.com website for an updated schedule of basketball games, which will kick off in December. Keep in mind now, there is a chance we will cover high school football again next Friday night. Should Minster or Layman Catholic win tonight in Division 7 action, and at last report over an hour ago, we heard that both were behind. Layman was down two touchdowns, Minster down one score at the half. But should Layman or Minster pull out a victory tonight, we'll follow either one next week in Division 7 playoff action at a site to be determined. We'll most certainly be up north, Wapakoneta, Lima, conceivably. Layman played tonight at Allen East, out in East Allen County, against Adelpha St. John's, and was down 13-0 at the half of that game. Rhett Gish has been our scoresbroadcast.com chief engineer. Chuck McBee alongside, stats, color, on-site engineering. Sydney had several key performers tonight. A few players excelled. Chuck, you picked out at least two or three stars of the game on the defensive side?
I picked out Braden Dean, and I picked out, Ryan Cagle. Mm-hmm. Those are the Clancy's players of the game for the Yellow Jackets.
If Dean had an early game sack, also another tackle for a loss. Ryan Cagle performed well, leading tackler on the year for Sydney. Clancy's in Sydney on Wapak Avenue. Nothing fancy, just fantastic food at Clancy's.
Hot, delicious home-cooked meals are a hit at Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney. All-you-can-eat fish on Friday, chicken on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally like the international cuisine at Clancy's. The first and third Wednesday of each month, we plan our schedules around it. I especially like the Greek and Chinese cuisine.
Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Without traveling to Dayton, I can enjoy authentic international cuisine right here in Sydney.
Teens fill their tummies at Clancy's, too.
Oh, the young crowd loves Clancy's. I always see them at after-school activities with the brown Clancy's to-go bags, and I just know they love them and they love the sandwiches.
And what's your favorite sandwich at Clancy's?
Oh, definitely the topper. It's probably my favorite sandwich over all the Wendy's or Burger King sandwiches.
Eat in, drive up, order out. Clancy's, 1250 Wapak in Sydney. Phone ahead at 492-8820.
Clancy's is priced just right for the whole family.
Daily dinner specials under $7, complete breakfast under $4 at Clancy's.
Well, Chuck, it looks like LaSalle will play Winton Woods next week in a rematch. Winton Woods late in the fourth quarter leads Anderson 52-15.
Wow.
So a rematch earlier in this year. LaSalle was beaten by Winton Woods in a cliffhanger, 18-15. Those two will collide again in Cincinnati next Friday night in a Division II regional championship contest. Again, a big thank you to head coach Adam Dungis of Sydney and his staff and all the players. They provided fine hospitality for both Chuck and me all year long. They rolled out the red carpet. I got to talk to Adam about every other week or so, and we aired his interviews, his conversations during our pregame. Thank you, Adam, very much. And once more, thanks to Todd Taylor, the Indianapolis Pacers executive, a Sydney graduate in 1990 who played on that 1989 Sydney playoff team. Todd was our guest at the half of two games this year. You heard parts of those interviews during the Sydney-Troy halftime and once again here tonight during the half of our Sydney-LaSalle game. For Chuck McBee, alongside for Rhett Gish, our chief engineer, Jack Kramer, saying good night from here at Miamisburg. Keep abreast of the scoresbroadcast.com schedule. We'll have football possibly next Friday if Minster or Layman Catholic was victorious tonight. Final tally once again from Holland Field in Miamisburg, LaSalle 41, Sydney 6 on scoresbroadcast.com.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.